Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness / stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Joining me on Monday Morning Mindfulness. I'm your host, Zelda Speaks, and today is Monday, March 21st, 2022, and the sun is beaming down on us, and I'm loving it. I'm just loving this sun. It's going to be 71 degrees in Chicago. Why do I get so excited? If you lived in Chicago, you'd understand. So thank you very much. Welcome to Monday Morning Mindfulness. We're just here to start your week off with the Mindfulness Stress Relief Session coming up live at 7:15. So be sure and join us if you want to learn how to release some of that tension in your body. Happy Earth Day, Birthday, Born Day if you're celebrating your natal day today or yesterday or tomorrow. We're celebrating with you. So happy Earth Day, Birthday, Born Day. And let us always keep those in mind, especially our essential workers and those who are on the front line of guarding this country. We give thanks for them right here, right now, as we give thanks for the ancestors for guiding and guarding and directing the direction of this movement, of this global peace movement. If you didn't hear the show on Saturday, you got to go back and hear it. That's the end of war. It's peace. If we learn to love each other from the heart and get our egos out of the way, everything will be all right. But until we do that, nothing. But this is the beginning of it. So if you listen to the show on Saturday on Deborah's show, Move Around with Deborah, doesn't come on at 7 o'clock in the morning. It comes on at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Check it out. We have a partnership with HWPL. World peace leaders, and in order for this to work all over the world, you have got to get involved, and that means you and everyone that you know, because this is not a they thing, this is a we thing. So go back and listen to that. All the shows are in the archives. Condolences to the families of our beloved media. Where are we going? We are transcending time in these bodies because we're leaving it. Purvis Spann. No, first it was Harold Lee Rush, Purvis Spann, and now Mary D. Oh, my goodness. I'm sure you've seen it on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. Reggie Miles' wife. I think that was the name of Lashia. I forgot her first name. But she passed, Reggie Miles, from he's the program director at KKC, and his wife passed. So there's a lot of mourning going on, but there's also a lot of relief going on, because when someone is in pain or not living a good quality of life, it's just hard on the whole family, and I know that from experience. We had a family gathering yesterday for my bestie, Deborah Peterson, who is back in the hospital, but she's doing much better. So thank you for all those prayers. Honey, can you cut that heat off, please? Thank you so much. I got the sun booming down on me this morning, and I'm loving it because it's going to be 71 degrees today. But just know that whatever you're going through, it didn't come to stay, and there's a lesson in it somewhere. We may not see it, but we ask for guidance and direction from the ancestors, and get quiet long enough to hear. Because we can't do that with all these distractions out here. Okay? Anyway, just want to share that with you. So when you get some quiet time, give thanks for whatever it is that you have. Gratitude journal, 5 things. I do 10. A lot of them got to do with sanity. So anyway, today's topic, interspecies communications. How to communicate with non-human beings. Do you talk to your plants? Do you talk to your pets? Do you talk to the trees? It's called interspecies communications. And we will be joined by our executive producer of The Female Solution, Naima Latif, coming up in the 7:30 hour, and she'll be with us until 9. So you be sure and tune in. If you're listening online, thank you so much for joining us on Facebook, HLNTV1. You know, go to YouTube and you see that emblem, you'll know that you're at the right place. YouTube.com Higher Learning TV Show. And on Facebook, it's HLNTV1. Oh, and on our Instagram page, it's HLN.homeless.project. We got some more donations. Thank you very much. We've ordered the butane lighters already, and we're going to pick them up tomorrow. So thank you for all your donations for the homeless. They always need heaters and generators, but especially especially that butane, those little canisters, 16-ounce canisters to keep you warm at night. They're only $5 at Walmart. I think it's $2 for $8.88 or $9.97 if you go in the store. We order them online, so they were like a dollar cheap or so. If you want to do something you don't know what to do, go down to Tent City, drop something off. Drop off some butane canisters. They're like very cheap at Walmart. And then I got them at Home Depot the week before because I didn't know, and they were like $15. So that $5 could buy an extra butane tank. So please keep that in mind. And I've told you about our YouTube channel and my YouTube channel, Zelda Speaks, or Zelda Speaks Mindfulness. Either one of those, you can go, and I upload information there daily as well. And if you're headed out and about this today, beautiful day outside, high 71 degrees. Tomorrow, not so nice, 52, Wednesday 53, and Thursday 43. And Thursday is the gas giveaway. If you have not seen or heard about the free gas giveaway with Dr. Willie Wilson, it's all on our Facebook page, facebook.com, HLNTV1. Just scroll down because it's there. There's lots of footage. And he'll be doing again this Thursday, same place. Actually, he gave away $200,000 in free gas, and he figured out that that just wasn't enough because there were so many people still left because they gave it till the gas ran out. You know, a gas station can only hold so many tanks. So they had 10 locations. I think they have 15 now. I know it is. And you'll see it on my Facebook page. Go to Zelda Speaks or HLNTV1. 15 gas stations and 7 a.m. until the gas runs out, and we will be at the same location we were right off of Sacramento and Van Buren, I think it is, when you're going to the west side. And on Thursday, whatever Thursday is, today's the 21st, so it must be the 24th, there will be $1 million worth of gas he's given away. Now, what city official is doing that? He invited city officials to come out, and he also invited business owners to come out and help pump the gas. And they'll probably show up because they want to be on camera and be seen doing something good. So, who knows? Anyway, that's what's happening on Thursday. So be sure and join us. We'll be out there live, won't we, Tony?
Oh, yeah.
With the camera. We'll be filming, so you be sure and get there early. What was the lady said she got there at 5 o'clock in the morning, I think it was. Yeah, she said there were already 8 or 9 people in line, so I'm thinking somebody probably going to spend
it. One guy told me he got there at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he was probably the one that beat her. Somebody got there at 2 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah, well, somebody's got to get there early. Somebody got to get to work. There was one lady who couldn't get to work. Oh, that's a whole other story. That's on my Facebook page, so go and see. We're walking down the alley. So be sure and check it out. Anyway, if you're traveling inbound, give yourself some extra time today. Inbound on the Kennedy slow from O'Hare, it is 39 minutes in, 24 minutes out. On the Eaton's, it's 26 minutes in, slow at Cicero at 19 on the reverse. On the Eisenhower, it's 33 minutes in, backed up at Mannheim, 24 out. On the Stevenson, 25 minutes in and 21 out. On the Dan Ryan, slow from 95th to downtown, 20 minutes in, 13 minutes on the outbound. On the Bishop Ford, 12 minutes in both directions. And Lakeshore Drive, DuSable Lakeshore Drive, it is 10 minutes in both directions. And that's your traffic and weather sponsored by Karen Kelly of itext.com. If you are an entrepreneur or a business owner and you are in need of supplies or anything that you can think of that you can buy at Kmart, Walmart, Anymart, Target, Amazon, anywhere. You can get it right here on iText. All you have to do is be a business owner or an entrepreneur, have a service or a product, and you can trade, your service and product for whatever you want. We got a car, camera equipment, travel, all kind of stuff. And it's like, it's the best kept secret, but I got to tell somebody. iText.com with Karen Kelly. But also, let me show you her Chicago North iText.com. And, yeah, you get a free $100 shopping bonus if you decide to sign up. But you got to mention the promo code ZELDA. Thank you, Richard Pegue. And her kiss.
You're welcome.
Tony said you. Okay, Richard. Oh. So if you want to travel anywhere in the world, people are starting to travel now. You want to go to the Caribbean, Alaska, Hawaii, Mexico, Vegas, anywhere in the continental USA and abroad, because they've got timeshares everywhere. You can just buy them with ITEX dollars. So just be sure and sign up and get that $100 free, because that $100 is in shopping money. It's not coming in your hand, and it is recognized by the IRS. Okay. All righty. And if you are a person who lives in America, chances are you eat a little bit too much, you gain a little bit of weight, and you might be diabetic. Learn what my drink is. It's free, diabeticdonut.com. Download that free ebook, and the recipe is in there. Apple, beet, cucumber, lemon, ginger, kale, turmeric, every day. Doesn't taste like ice cream, but it does the job. You want to reverse your type 2 diabetes, you want to get that, get those numbers down, level your sugar up, get it. It's free. You have no excuse. None. Okay. Remember to set those DVRs for the Higher Learning Network TV show, which airs Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19, and 24/7 on the World Wide Web on Higher Learning TV show. Okay? Alrighty, just wanted to share that with you. And it is 7:16, time for your Monday morning mindfulness word of the day. And that is taken from Mike House, who sends me every day. I love it. Thank you, Mike. It says, connection, March 21st. So often we feel alone. So often when we feel alone, confused, or things just aren't going the way we want them to, our immediate reaction is to reach outwards. We search for answers, comfort, acceptance, and belonging in all the wrong places. The safe harbor we are reaching for is not outside. What we really seek is a deep connection within ourselves. To form meaningful connections in our communities, we must first connect with ourselves, our divine identity. This way, we can be the model of that which we desire to find in these places, whether it is comfort or acceptance or a safe place for others to thrive. We must first be it for ourselves. The world cannot satisfy our connection needs. The highest purpose of our communities is to foster growth and evolution. With spiritual clarity comes better conscious living. May you never confuse your desire for fulfillment with the outer form, but rather turn within and drink from the inner substance, the living waters that never run dry. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give, him will never thirst. That's John 4:14. That's the New King James Version. Inspirational Conversations with Mike House, right here on Monday Morning Mindfulness. So I hope you enjoyed your Monday Morning Mindfulness meditation, or I should say your Monday Morning Mindfulness inspiration. Now it's time for meditation. So why do we do meditation, Zelda? Because it is the practice, the morning ritual, the daily ritual, whatever time you can get it in. But first, you know, I think you deserve to be able to center yourself first thing in the morning, because when you do that, you prepare yourself. It's like a little shield around you. It's your armor. As the Bible says, put on the armor of God before you leave the house, because they're waiting for you to just nitpick you to death. You'll have a headache, just stressed out, all kind of craziness. So just remember to do that. Put on your armor. So that's what we're doing. And we do that with the power of the breath, because the breath can make you or break you. We worry about a lot of things in life, but one of them is not breathing. Because if you woke up and you could get up, you're already ahead of the game. Because somebody woke up this morning and couldn't get up. So consider yourself fortunate. So that's why we do what we do, so to help you get centered. So you simply sit up straight wherever you are, feet on the floor, hands in your lap, on your side. Doesn't matter. Just be in a comfortable space and just close your eyes and be aware. I didn't say inhale. I just said be aware of your breath. How are you breathing? Is it shallow? Do you feel your chest rise? Do you feel your stomach inflate? Probably not, because they didn't teach us that in school. So that's why we teach it here on The Female Solution on Monday Morning Mindfulness, because we want to prepare you for that which may disturb you. And when it arises, you'll be simply able to be like, oh, I got my armor on. I'm good. Y'all take that nonsense over there. Okay? So we simply close our eyes. You should not be looking at me but the inside of your eyelids. So close those eyes and just take a deep breath through the nose. And enjoy the fact that you can breathe through your nose, because someone somewhere can't and you're not that person. Someone has respiratory disease or trachea in their throat. So look at you breathing all on your own. Go ahead and inhale again. Hold it. And exhale. I like breathing through the nose because you feel it immediately. I feel it all up in here, especially in my shoulders. That's where I hold most of my tension. So inhale deeply. Through the nose, hold it. And exhale. Feel good, doesn't it? Okay, so take your left hand, put it on your forehead. Excuse me. Take your left hand and put it on your heart. And your right hand and put it on your stomach and breathe in and breathe out. And I want you to feel that stomach expand as you breathe in and breathe out. And that's a reminder for you to know that you're breathing correctly. So inhale deeply. Feel that stomach expand. Hold it. And exhale. Oh, yes, that feels so good. Let's do it again. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale. Once more, inhale deeply. Giving thanks for the power of the breath as we exhale. And continue to breathe in and breathe out as you listen to the sound of my voice with your eyes closed. Know that you are at the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Also notice the thoughts that are floating in and out of your head telling you that you really don't have time for this, or you've got your to-do list and you got to hurry up and get out the house, or whatever is on your to-do list today. Just be observant of those thoughts and know that they're thoughts. And those thoughts are trying to derail you from this breathing experience, and it's okay. You simply inhale deeply. And as your eyes are closed, you simply see those thoughts floating like little leaves. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Just see those thoughts floating by. Not giving them any attention, but paying attention to the breath as we inhale deeply. Taking the energy of the breath down through the face and the forehead, from the top of the head to the forehead and the face. As we inhale, and as we exhale, giving thanks that that energy is floating down through the arms and the shoulders as we rotate those shoulders, as we turn and twist from side to side. I love doing this because I can feel the stretch, because my hand can fit on the back of this chair, and I can do it again and turn to the other side, inhaling deeply. Hold it. Ah, I feel that stretch. Yes, that feels good. The body loves movement at all times. The body needs to be moving as we inhale deeply. Hold it. As we exhale, bring love, light, and energy down through the body in the form of your breath as you stretch those arms out, giving thanks as you move and breathe and give thanks that you can move. And breathe. Stretch, 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 stretch. Oh, yes, that feels good as we inhale deeply. Bringing the love, light, and energy of the breath down through the chest, the solar plexus, the sides and the back and the buttocks and the thighs. Oh, yes, those lovely big old great skinny, thin, however size those thighs are, giving thanks for them. Thick thighs save lives. You know that, right? Inhale deeply. And as you exhale, sending that energy down on through the knees and the legs. Feel free to massage any part of your body that is speaking to you. I just massage them just because it feels good. Inhale deeply. Sending more love, light, and energy down through the legs and the ankles and the arches and the insteps and the top and the bottom of the feet as you wiggle those toes. Sending more love and light and energy back up as you inhale deeply. Bringing more love, light, and energy back up through the legs and the knees and thighs and the back and the buttocks and the hips and the spine as we move from side to side just to give a little movement to the body. As we inhale once more, bringing that energy back up through the back of the shoulders, and you grab the back of those shoulders. I do it with these fingers right here. And just massage them, just cause it feels good. Oh, yeah, that feels good. And then you can just take your fingers and do like that, just knead the back. That's where I hold my attention, so that's what I do. Just hold this, knead those shoulders. Knead them with your hands, with your fingers, whatever you want to do. Just rub it, feel it, how good that feels. Yes, as we inhale once more. Bringing that energy back up through the neck and the face and to the top of the head as we give thanks for all of our inner organs that are working perfectly without our even thinking about it. We give thanks as we inhale deeply. We give thanks for the power of the brain to send signals to the rest of the body, for the blood that runs through our veins and our arteries. We give thanks for every breath that we breathe, that our nostrils are open and the breath can go down and we can inhale and we can exhale. We give thanks for all of that because without that, we would not be here. As we inhale once more. And this time, bring your head forward, chin to chest, and slowly rotate that head to the left. That's why you're sitting up straight. And slowly rotate to the back. Slow down, moving too fast. Slowly, slowly, slowly to the right so that you can feel that neck rotate in increments, little bitty increments. Inhale deeply. Bring the head back down, chin to chest, and slowly rotate the head to the right. Slowly, slowly, slowly. You should just be getting to the back. Oh, feel that stretch. Yeah. Ooh, I felt a little pop. Did you feel a little pop too? Yeah, that's a good thing. And slowly back around, chin to chest, head up, inhale deeply. And this time as you exhale, look to the left as far as you possibly can, feeling the stretch in the right of the neck, bringing your head back, inhale deeply. Turning your head to the right as far as you possibly can, feeling the stretch in the left side of your neck. Does that feel good? Bring your head back. Inhale once more. Giving thanks for the brain, the heart, the liver, the lungs, the spleen, the spine, the vagus nerves, and all the nerves and arteries that we can't even see. And we don't know that they're there until something goes wrong as we inhale deeply. Using two of the most powerful words on the planet, we give thanks for the I am. I am happy. I am healthy. I am whole and complete just as I am. Because I am giving thanks for all of this body that I've been blessed with. And I give thanks that I have a reason to move and to groove and to be in alignment with the Creator, that which brought me. I give thanks for the digestive system, the assimilation system, and the elimination system. We eat it, it digests, and then it moves out. When those systems are not working, you got problems, and we don't want that. So we simply breathe in, and we simply breathe out. And that is your Monday morning breathing session, because it is the breath of life that will keep you in circumstances of chaos and confusion when people come up in your face and they don't even know the color of your Kool-Aid or the flavor of your Kool-Aid, and you just want to send them somewhere else. Breathe in, inhale through your nose. But if you got a little garlic or a little onion, a little funk on your breath, I promise you that they will disappear. And you simply say, don't believe me? Try it. If your breath smells, they'll be like, yeah, okay, what you said? Oh, okay. All right, okay, let me go over here and take care of this. Well, you will have that experience, and you can also have the experience of going to my YouTube channel, Zelda Speaks. And Zelda speaks to you. Yeah, I got two of them. And I hope you enjoyed our Monday morning mindful meditation, because it's now 7:30. And it is time for our first commercial break here on The Female Solution. We will be joined by executive producer of The Female Solution. That would be Naima Latif. And she will be joining us right after the break. So you stay close for that information, and we will be back to share more with you. And I want to share this with you this morning, this file about Quick Click. Remember I told you about making money when you shop? Because I don't get that on Amazon. So I just want to share that with you this morning. So in the meantime, in between time, check it out, and if you need more information, just send us an email, and you can also go to my YouTube page. Is it a YouTube page? Yes, it's a YouTube page. Well, this is on our YouTube page, so check it out.
Meet Sam. Sam owns an e-commerce business that sells athletic shoes and running gear. Sam wants to increase her sales without increasing marketing spend, so she decides to list her products on QuickClick. On QuickClick, her loyal customers can get paid for sharing her products with their friends. Sam uploads her products to the marketplace, just like she would on Amazon or Shopify. Meet Laura. Laura is in the market for a new pair of shoes and comes across Sam's brand on the QuickClick marketplace. Laura is able to purchase the shoes and check out like she would on any other e-commerce site. After purchasing, Laura receives a unique Quick Link that she can share with friends to begin earning Quick Cash. Her friend Jessica opens Laura's Quick Link on her phone and purchases a pair of shoes. Because Jessica purchases using Laura's Quick Link, Laura receives Quick Cash in her account. After purchasing, Jessica can now share her own Quick Link and begin earning Quick Cash as well. But Quick Click is more than just your typical referral or affiliate platform. QuickClick rewards customers for sales they directly and indirectly influence. So, for every sale Jessica's new QuickClick makes, Laura will earn additional Quick Cash as well, making the potential for earning exponential. Laura and Jessica can transfer their Quick Cash balance to their bank account at any time, or can even use Quick Cash to make additional purchases in the app. Meanwhile, Sam can just watch as the sales roll in. Best of all, she doesn't have to worry about costs, since she is only spending marketing dollars when actual purchases are made. Start buying, sharing, and earning today at QuickClick.com.
And Naima will take us to commercial.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. will help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and Move Around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Grand Rising, and thank you for joining us back here on The Female Solution. I'm your host, Zelda Speaks, and I'm being joined by our executive producer of the show, and that would be Naima Latif. Yay! Interspecies communications, how we communicate with non-humans. Is that possible? Of course it is. We do it all the time. We just don't know it. I must share this before I go. Last year this time we were in
Florida.
I was trying to think of the name of the town. Altamont, near Orlando. How about put it like that?
Altamont Springs.
Altamont Springs.
Altamont Springs. things.
Yeah.
And we went out that morning, you know, we're active women. We got to move, we got to breathe, we got to sweat and all that good stuff. So we took our morning walk, and as Viata and Dara Lynn were walking down the street, I'm behind them, and I'm not walking as fast. I don't know why. Something just slowed me down. I'm not moving fast. And they were going down, straight down whatever street that was. But I just happened to look to the side, and I saw this big old blooming gigantic tree. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. And it was like saying, come here. I got something to tell you. And I'm like, am I being punked? What's going on here? So I trusted it, so I walked down the street. And down that street, I saw the most miraculous trees I have ever seen, all different shapes and sizes and coming out the ground sideways and twisting and turning like the tree in Viata ZR. I was like, wow, what is going on here? So I'm walking down the street talking to myself. It's early in the morning. Ain't nobody out, so didn't nobody hear me. If they did, it was okay. And I could just hear the trees saying, come this way. This is all in my head. Come this way. And I'm sitting there, and I'm having it. So I stop at a tree, and I take a picture. I get a little video. I say a little, you know, morning inspiration. And it's like the further I walk, the deeper I got. And then, of course, I got a call, and they're like, where are you? Are you lost? And I was like, no, I just went this way. I'm okay. Y'all just keep walking. We'll meet back up. But I know they was like, what is she on this morning? She don't know nobody out here. They don't know. I'm a child from Mississippi. I talk to anybody, everybody. So I ain't scared of nothing. So I'm having this experience with these trees, and I'm just sitting there on the ground. I get up. I sit for a minute, and I sit back down, and then I take some more pictures. I take some more video. And it's like I am just in awe of these trees. I have never had that experience where it felt like a tree said, come here. I got something to tell you. And that's where I started having these experiences with trees. That's why I thought Oprah was a little, you know, loony when she was talking about hug a tree. And I was like, yeah, I hugged it anyway just because she said it, because I didn't figure she'd tell us over. But you feel an energy, and it can't be commuted with the tongue. So I'm so glad you're here this morning to talk about interspecies communications, because we can talk to non-living human, I shouldn't say non-living, to non-human beings, because everything living is alive and it is a being, whether it's a human being or not. So you've learned some fantabulous things too, so I want you to share that this morning.
Yeah, so I am so excited to be able to share my discoveries with our global family, because I really think it's going to make a major difference in how we see ourselves in the world, and it really will be a healing for our world. So I am just excited to be able to give our listen to viewers and understanding of the realities that we're living in. Now, for me, it all started with the passing of my husband. Because what had happened, you know, when he was diagnosed with an illness and we understood that his time was limited here on earth, we made an agreement that we were going to figure out how to stay connected, even though he was going to no longer be living in this body. He was going to transition to the other realm. But we made an agreement that he would figure out a way to come back and tell me actually what's happening. And that was the beginning. Because once that happened, a few days after his funeral, he actually kept his promise. And I began getting visitations from his spirit. Now, during his illness, the last part of his illness, he was not able to speak anymore. And he couldn't communicate with people. He couldn't tell them what he wanted. So, you know, when you're close to somebody, when you're their spouse, a child, somebody that's very close to you, you actually communicate telepathically all the time. But we're just not aware of it. Well, during those last complexities of his illness when he could not speak. I had to turn on that intuitive knowing that we all have so that I could tell people what he was saying and what he wanted because I could feel it because he was my husband. We had become one. And so that kind of connection was still there after he transitioned. And I'll tell you how I discovered what that is. After he transitioned, and I began keeping a diary, which evolved into this book, Visits from the Dream State, which just tells of my journey of discovery of our eternal connectedness as a conscious, eternal being. What happened, one of our friends, who he's kind of psychic, I guess you could say, he's highly intuitive, one of my husband's friends, lives in Indiana, and he had been to our house once before, but he only been to our house one time. Well, during the time of the funeral, he came to visit me, but he didn't have a cell phone at the time, and he got to the city, and he said, "Well, I don't have a phone to call her. I don't have an address. I'm just gonna let my intuition guide me." And his intuition got him to my house.
Wow.
Saying, "Well, how did you get here?" He said, "I just follow my intuition." And he's very intuitive. I mean, today, you know, sometimes he'll call me, "I just got the inspiration to call you." So we're very intuitively connected.
Wow.
So he began sending me information, which began my journey of discovery. And one of the first books he sent me was this book called Message Down Under by an author named Marla Morgan. She's a, you know, regular, you know, Caucasian female living in the United States. But she got a call to come to Australia to meet with these Aboriginal people. She thought she was going to go and give a lecture because, you know, she's like a health professional and all that. And what happened, she got there, she met with this group of Aboriginal people. First thing they did, they took all her clothes, burnt them up, took her wallet, burnt it up and everything. So okay, you're gonna spend some time with us on what's called a walkabout, meaning we walk out in the desert with nothing because we have things to teach you. So now they didn't speak her language. They had one interpreter that spoke English. Nobody else spoke English. So she ends up spending several months with this Aboriginal group, and she observed some amazing things. First of all, they communicated telepathically, like they'd be sitting somewhere else, and everybody would get up and leave the room. And she's like, "What happened?" Well, they were all talking all that time, and what they called head talk, which basically is telepathic communication. So what they would do is get up and hunt every morning. But what they would do is first meditate, and then they would politely ask, you know, whatever herd of animals coming, they would politely ask if one of them could volunteer to be their meal. And that's how they hunted. So that they would go intuitively, "Yes, could you volunteer? Our community is hungry. We need one of you to volunteer to offer your flesh, you know, if you feel like it's your end of life, you know, and you're willing to apply that service. Then, you know, we'd be very appreciative." So, I mean, she was observing every morning. They'd get up and do this, and they would ask someone to volunteer, and they would be led intuitively, telepathically to wherever that herd of animals was, and one would step forward and stand very still, you know, volunteering, you know, to give them, and they, whatever tool that they used to kill them, it would be a clean kill, you know, no pain, no suffering, and they would do it. They would, of course, give thanks to the animal for volunteering, and they would eat. And she was like, "What?" So, I mean, she was observing so many different things that they did. They were in such tune with nature and each other. And eventually they taught her the skills of communicating, you know, mind to mind, heart to heart, soul to soul, telepathically. She learned that while she was with them. So anyway, she came back and wrote this book called Mutant Message Down Under. And the mutant is what they call us. People who have lost that skill of interspecies communication. We have mutated out of that connection to the earth. So my friend, my intuitive friend who actually is intuitive, when he gave me that book, that really opened my eye, I guess my third eye.
Sure. To,
there's something else in this realm. Because at the time I was studying telepathic communication because I was trying to figure out how to stay connected with my husband who had transitioned. So I had been going on the internet trying to find these things. And so in the midst of that, I came across a woman that I quote often, Dolores Cannon. And she is, she's transitioned since a few years ago, but she has so many different videos and everything on YouTube. She is a hypnotherapist, and she discovered, her and her husband discovered quite by accident, the reality that we as a living being, we are eternal beings having a temporary human experience. But this human experience we've had, we as the soul that we are have experienced life as everything on the planet as part of our soul journey. And she, her and her husband were doing this hypnotherapy with this woman while her husband was a hypnotist working with the military. And so they asked him to help with one of the military wives that was having a weight problem and needed her to relax and stop, you know, her compulsive eating because it had caused her to be so very obese. So his job was just, you know, do the hypnotism, get her to relax so that she would not overeat. Well, under hypnosis, she did something amazing. She went back to another previous life when she was in the roaring 20s, and she went back to a previous life when she was like in the middle age. She went back to her previous life. She kept going back, so she went all the way back to the time she was created by God. So they were fascinated, like, what is this? What? So this was like in the 60s, but nobody's talking about
it. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. But it was fascinating to them, and so they were exploring, and the stories that she told, and each time she became that whole different personality. And so she went all the way back to the beginning. And so what happened over the years is Dolores Cannon kept discovering, she developed a whole system of hypnotherapy where she could bring people back to previous lives, and then she could also bring them through the death experience to explain what happened after you passed away. And so I was just totally fascinated because I was in the mode of, I want to know what's happening with my husband. I want to keep contact with him. And then I want to understand what it is that he's showing me. And then I want to understand life itself. So it was fascinating what I was learning. And so what she learned through the process of all her various hundreds and thousands of clients that she regressed is that all of us are part of the life force energy we call God. There's the one consciousness that is everything. And that one consciousness exploded out, and so all of us are little sparks of life. We're part of that one universal consciousness. That's who we are. So when the scripture says you are God's children of the Most High, understanding it means we are all part of the one energy of creation. All of us are part of divine consciousness. We're simply embodied in flesh.
Mm.
So as that one energy exploded out, all, and it became all different things. It became planets, galaxies, heavenly bodies, souls on living on those heavenly bodies. That's what all of us are. All of us are part of the one. So because that's who we are all connected to that one energy. Everything. Things we consider living and non-living. Everything is part of the one energy of creation. So when you have an experience of being embodied, it gives you the illusion that you are separate from that one
energy.
But really, you're not. We are all connected. So it's interesting that you do a breathing exercise because in order to reconnect with other life, other consciousness, you breathe in.
Oh.
Because you're breathing in the breath of life and you are absorbing the energy of creation, and this is what puts you in touch with other life forms. Now, I was reading and watching the works of Dolores Cannon. What she was explaining is that as one of those sparks of light that's part of the Creator, what we're doing is on a journey of exploration.
Mm-hmm.
So every planet is like a school where you learn things. And here on Earth, in order to you learn how to be everything, because you're learning how everything interacts and is interconnected. So as a soul, you experience life as everything. You, the one consciousness, separated from the whole, you experience everything. You experience being the elements, the air, the water. You experience being rocks, minerals, trees. You experience being plants. You experience being insects. You experience being birds, dolphins, animals. You experience everything. You experience being that. Your same consciousness has had that same experience, seeing all those different things. And each time, it's your consciousness, is just in a different body, embodied in a different form. So this is why you can relate to what everything feels, because you have been everything as part of your life's journey. And there isn't that hierarchy, okay, I'm going to start with the lower things, I'm going to start with the higher things. It's just different. So now, one of the things that was fascinating to me was the reality that all of those lives are stored in your soul as a soul memory. So you have within you the memory of all of the lives that you've lived, but while you're in a particular life, you're focused on that particular life. We're not, each time we embody a new body, we're not allowed to know the other lives, because it would interfere with the purpose of this particular life. And what she discovered, even in her past life regression, taking people through the death experience, that after every lifetime, you have a review, a life review, where you learn what it is that you learned. You know, okay, what did you learn as being part of an ant colony? Oh, we learned cooperation. You learned working together. What did you learn being part of a buffalo herd? Well, you know, you learn how families have to, you know, work together to take care of the children. Well, what did you learn as, you know, part of the air? What did you learn as a rock? You know, what did you learn as a tree? You know, all these things, but each life is teaching you something about life. And what she said is there is no hell. That's something made up by religion. There's no hell. But there is, if you did something during your lifetime to hurt somebody, you are regressful. Because what happens is once you transition out of this body, your consciousness can merge with every other consciousness. So what, when you have your life review, you feel what others felt when you interacted with them. So if you hurt someone, you feel what they felt because you merged with them during that life review. So you're not just seeing what you did, you're feeling what you did from their perspective. So you can imagine the hell if you hurt people, if you torture people, you beat up people, you kill somebody, you feel that because you experienced it as them, because you merged with them, your life force energy. So that's what happens after you cross over. And then, of course, after seeing what you learned, you want to come back in a life where you can sometimes repay what you did, or, you know, do service to someone, to a soul that you might have injured. So a lot of the relationships that we have are what we call karmic, you know.
Yeah.
You did something to them in another life. You need to pay it back in this life, you know.
Right.
So maybe you killed somebody in another life. In this life, you know, maybe they're a parent who or a child who is disabled. You must take care of them their whole life. That's to repay what you did another life.
Oh, wow.
But, of course, you're not knowing any of these things. You just focus on living your life. You don't remember that that's what it was until you leave. Again, like, it's like returning home where you get, you know, to review what you learned and what happened and all that. Did you accomplish what you're supposed to do? So all of that was just so fascinating. So I'm constantly researching, because during this awakening, I'm realizing there's a whole reality that we have not allowed to know, because our religions have basically removed the truth of reality and given us a teaching that would keep us in a state of fear. And once you're in fear, you can't learn. You know, it's like a barrier. You can't learn. So I know we got to take a break.
Got another minute.
The next thing that was eye-opening experience. I ran through several interspecies communicators, and one of them in particular particular Anna Brayton block, I think it was the first one, where she communicated and she explained how she learned the process of being able to merge your consciousness, being able to feel the feelings of another being, which is what you do when you transition, but you can do it while you're embodied when you learn that skill.
Mm.
And I found that fascinating because I realized that it's something we've been doing all the time, just unconsciously.
Mm.
But once I discovered that we are all connected and all beings have the same consciousness that we have, I realized and that is telepathy, which mm-hmm. what is it?
Distance,
passive, okay. Feeling. So it's sending your feelings over distance. Mm-hmm. We do it all the time. I can say, I feel somebody's vibe.
Mm-hmm.
We do that all the time. We communicate our feelings over distance. It's the energy that we're sending and receiving. We have this ability when we're born. This is really how we communicate with our parents. How do you know that your child needs something? They don't have language. You feel it. Now, what happens with human beings, just like the Aboriginal people had the ability, we have the ability. We, in our so-called modern state, we have lost that skill. And we, in our arrogance, are believing our verbal communication makes us superior when, in fact, it actually hampers that ability. Because what happens is, every feeling that you have is represented by a sound. That's what our verbal language is. The words you say are supposed to represent how you feel. But what happens is, we learn to make sounds that are not what we really feel. In other words, we learn to lie.
Mm.
And this kind of intuitive communication, telepathic communication, it is totally truthful because it's heart to heart. You can't lie. It's what you really feel. So our verbal communication is what has stifled our ability to use that universal language that all living beings use to communicate because we use our verbal language to hide what we really feel.
Mm.
We lie.
Mm.
So I know you got to take a break. You need me to run some commercials?
Yeah. My board is up now. I can run them. And when we come back, we've got some callers on the line. We're going to take 706-202 and 773-221. But so stay close, and we'll be right back here to talk about more.
Hi, I'm Dr. CJ of Valona Health, where we combine orthopedic manual therapy and neuroscience to treat the whole person. Health tip for the day is keep it moving. Doesn't matter how, just keep it moving doing something you enjoy. Walking, dancing, rolling on the floor with your dogs or kids, really anything. The body craves movement to keep the bones, joints, and muscles happy. Even our mental health and internal organs and digestive system rely on our movements.
Hey,
and being a part of the Higher Learning Network on the Female Solution.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibrations. Shalom.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Welcome to Monday Morning Mindfulness, where we're just here to start your day with a better way of being. You know, there's so much health and well-being going on. We want to be at the forefront. We are at the forefront because we bring it to you raw, in the real, as they say, on the real. Interspecies communications, how we communicate with non-human beings. That's the topic of the day with executive producer Naima Latif. As we go to the phone line, so they are lit up, 706-202, you are live on The Female Solution, Grand Rising. I do believe that is Baba Kwame Sunhorse from Georgia.
Yes.
Grand Rising, Baba. Baba Kwame Sunhorse.
Check your mute.
Check your mute.
Yeah, I have got it. You're correct.
Grand Rising.
Grand Rising. Grand Rising, and assalamu alaikum. Sister Naima, very much on point, and what you're sharing, I sent you both the Wood Wide Web, and what we're now reconnecting back to Ina Makah, Mother Earth, because this is today, and everything is in divine order. Today is the spring equinox, Gregorian calendar.
Yeah, I know something about that.
Right, and we're in line now in planting the seed and understanding how we reconnect back to ourselves, because all of that you've spoken on, and especially when you spoke, you know, Dolores Cannon, she was an innovator with this ancient knowledge, bringing it back, than even the woman that went to did the walkabout, because the Australian and the Aboriginal people, the original, that's what Aboriginal means. Ab is the originals, know that you don't need clothing. Clothing hinders you. Clothing and that, especially now with poly and ester and all these other synthetics they do, but cotton.
You don't need no poly and ester.
Right. And see, and then the other part is they walk on the land and the soul connects. So even here in this country, we wore skins and we wore moccasins in order to communicate with the trees, the forests, the community. And we had a connection in being able to Zelda, you received in the trees communicating, because that's why it's called the Wood Wide Web, There are trillions of trees on the planet that's constantly communicating every season and every all four seasons, and they're all connected. And what we're doing and being put into you are banned areas, urban, you are banned from being able to connect to nature, to be able to communicate, and them to distort it with an artificial frequency. Because the divine frequency of the sun, the moon, the planets, the earth are in tune, because there's an excellent book by Walter Russell. He wrote a book called Universal One, but he also has a book called The Secret of Light, because we are, each person is a ray of light that comes from the sun. We're constantly revisiting and coming back and going forward and coming back and going forward. Because if you look at just a ray of sunlight, that is you, because each one of us is being able to emit that frequency and seeing ourselves as that light. And so that's why we talk about, I want to be enlightened. You want to return to what you are, energy. I want to end light, because in you is the light.
You return to the energy.
And when you look at the, and I'll send you a picture of it, when you look at the placenta and the tree of life, they're one and the same in the vein structures. The placenta and the tree is because they're all veined and they're all communicating. That's how we get our download through the mitochondria, because the placenta is what feeds the human to develop the vessel to travel in.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's really, you know, it's amazing what he's saying. Of course, when you look at all of nature, you learn more about yourself, because we are many universes. There's like many in her M-I-N-I, small universes within these bodies, and the ways that our veins carry blood, it's like the waters carry the energy of life throughout the earth. So when we can understand that we have been all part of nature, we can have a respect for nature, instead of us having this arrogant human superiority, believing that nothing else matters and nothing else has intelligence, we would be more in tune and we would be more in harmony even in the things that we construct. Now, I've had some really fascinating experiences in communicating with non-human beings that really opened my eyes. When I heard the story of Anna Breitenbach, when she had been asked to come as an animal communicator, asked to come to this animal shelter where this one angry black leopard was like ready to kill everybody. And when she came and talked to him, she found out that he was upset because he had been abused at a previous zoo. But he was really concerned about these small cubs that he's been taken away from, because, you know, they had been in a cage next to him. He wanted to know, well, where are they? What happened to them? So when she communicated, and she said, and I don't like this name that they gave me, because they gave him the name Diablo, which kind of means devil. And he said, I don't like that. That's not who I am. I'm a very wise spirit. That's who I am. Okay. And so when she explained that to the keepers of the animal shelter, they were just astounded, like, what? And so they renamed him Spirit. And he just emerged as this really beautiful, majestic black leopard, because he was you know, like an old wise soul, and he was saying, this is who I am. And they understood that he was wise, spiritual, and really deep being. They understood that the animals that they had been taking care of are not like, you know, children or dumb, or you just give them commands. These are beings that have intelligence just like you have feelings just like you have emotions like you have. And this is what human beings do not understand, because we think there's a hierarchy of we're at the highest and they're at the lowest. No, everybody is that same God consciousness, just embodied in different forms. Now, when I first started studying this means of communication, I had some very interesting encounters, and one of the first ones was when I was in London. And I was there with my daughter and two other friends. We decided we were going to go out for some ice cream. We went to this place, and we all got some green sherbet. So we're sitting outside at a table, and this bee kept flying around. And, you know, he's kind of shooting, I get away, anyway. And, you know, the bee kept flying around, and, you know, I'm going to get away. So somebody said, well, maybe you shouldn't shoot at them because sometimes they get angry and they sting you. So the bee kept flying around, and it landed in my cup of sherbet. And I'm thinking, ew, you know, and I sort of flicked it away. And I heard the bee say, I just want to taste it. And I said, oh, okay. So I spooned a little out. I put it on the table, and I said, this is for you. And I don't say I didn't share. It's yours. And the bee came, landed on the table, and I just felt like, oh, wow, green sherbet. And just, and we were sitting there about 15 minutes. The bee just sat there on the table, enjoying his sherbet along with us. And when the bee got done, it flew away. I'm like, hey, I mean, literally danced away from us, just happy, just to have a little bit of green sherbet. You know, this is what it tasted like. That's all wow. And, you know, the other women, they all laughed like, what did you do? But I understood. And just share. So now I've had several communications with insects, the tiniest of insects. And then I got some really dramatic animal communication stories. I'll tell one more, and then we'll go to another call. One of the other communications I had, it was in the summertime, you know, and you know, I'm thinking, okay, I'm evolving now. I can communicate with all beings. But there were these mosquitoes, and I heard them buzzing around in the room, and I'm like, oh, you know, so I lay down, and it kept buzzing and buzzing and buzzing, and I felt a sting, and I'm so angry. I got up, turned on the light, and I'm like, okay, where are they? You know, and I saw these two mosquitoes on the wall. And I grabbed the shoe and smashed them both. That's it. You know, I went to bed and I thought, oh, my God. You're supposed to be this evolved being and you just murdered two mosquitoes? So awful. I felt really horrible. And so now the next night, and I got in bed and I heard this buzzing again. Now, the thing is, the mosquitoes, it's only the female that buzzes. And the female, she needs blood to fertilize her eggs. That's why she bites me. So I knew that scientifically. So I'm in bed, I hear this buzzing. I'm like, oh, no. And so then I thought, okay, let me calm down, breathe. And I sent a telepathic message to the mosquito. I said, look, I know you need blood for your eggs. And I put the covers over my head so I couldn't hear the buzzing. And I said, I'm going to leave one arm out. I took an arm out. And I said, take what you need and leave. But don't you buzz in my ear again. Suddenly the room went silent. I heard nothing. And I was able to relax and sleep. And I felt nothing. And I didn't think about it until I got up the next morning. And I got in the shower. And I thought I had this great big huge welt on my arm. That mosquito had come during the night and gently withdrew the blood from my arm so as not to disturb me and left just like I asked. And I was fine.
Could I share something with that?
How hard was it just share a little blood? It didn't kill me. And then, of course, the day that the big welt was gone, but she took as much as she needed. I mean, a whole lot. I had a great big welt on my arm, but she didn't. When I asked her not to buzz in my ear, stop buzzing, silent, gently took the blood and left.
Wow.
How people can you
Naima.
Tell everything just because it's different. Everybody has needs and we can just share. How peaceful is that?
Wow. I've
got a couple other insects. I'm going to tell one more.
Baba Kwame wanted to say something right quick.
Yes, go right ahead.
Baba Kwame?
Yeah. And what you're doing is something that elders have always taught us and the medicine people tell us, is that when an insect or when a creature bites you, the thing is, it's giving you medicine to put into your body as an antidote. And so what we have to begin, like you put your arm out and you said, okay, because that way she's able to fertilize her eggs and reproduce because the mosquito has a part it does in the evolution of life. And so even the bee and the bees, and they're finding out now that bees repopulate the plant life. And it also helps to, now they're finding that bee stings can help cure arthritis and certain things in the body, in the joints, that they're allowing bees to sting you at a joint. And then watch the medicine that goes in that removes that arthritic pain.
Wow. Big Pharma ain't going to let that go.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Because, hey, how they going to make money off of it? They giving us healing for free.
This is what he sent me, and I'm going to post this on my blog. Those updates will be on my blog on zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. It says, with 60% of the 3 trillion trees on Earth connected by EM, more information is pouring in, and then it goes on to welcome to the Wood Wide Web. Not world, Wood Wide Web.
Yes,
so I'm going to post that on my blog.
They are communicating, yes.
Yes.
Yes, they are.
And it also shows, he says, with the, wow, this is the picture of the roots of the trees and the human placenta. Oh, my goodness, I can't wait to place that. Oh, wow, yeah, I can't wait to place that.
The more we learn, the more in awe we are of creation. So I got four quick insect stories before I tell the squirrel story, but I tell the squirrel story, because that was real dramatic.
Okay.
But, now, another insect story, because I'm getting accustomed to this interspecies communication, you know, telepathic skill. So, you know, whenever a fly gets in the house, you know how you swat the fly. Well, you know, what I'll do is I'll send a message to the fly, let me guide you out the door. And then, you know, I'll show them that I'm taking them out the door, and I'll open the door, and they leave the house. So it's really simple. So I've been doing that a while. So my daughter came to visit one day, and I think the flies were attracted to something in the house. Anyway, there's a whole swarm of them in the house, you know. And she was like, hey, where did these flies come from? And she's, you know, aggravated. So she picked up a newspaper. She's bought them and everything. And so I'm thinking, okay, let me help them get out the house. So I send a message to one of the flies. Follow me. I'm going to let you out the door. So the fly goes over to the door. I open the door. Let the fly. I'm letting the fly out. So then it was another one. She's, you know, she's busy swatting the fly and everything with the newspaper. And I'm you know, sending the telepathic message. Follow me. I'm going to let you out. So this fly, it, you know, flies over to the screen door. I said, let the fly out. What are you doing? I'm letting it fly out. She's still, there's one more fly that she's still swatting at and everything. And I'm sending this message to the fly. I said, follow me. I'm going to let you out. But, you know, she's swatting at it, and the fly is getting kind of friendly. No, no, just get out this way. And he's trying to get out the window that's closed. Well, you can't get out this. I'm telling you. I'm like, no, listen to me. I'm going to let you out. Follow me. I'm going to let you out the door. No, I'm going to get out this way. And I'm trying to get the fly to calm down, just come and follow me. But the fly is not listening. No, I'm going to get out this way. You know, still trying to get out the window, which is closed. And of course, she's swatting at him. And finally, she smashes him. And he's dead. I felt so awful.
Ooh.
And I thought, oh no, I couldn't save his life. Maybe I should have just told her to stop. But you know, my daughter already thinks I'm wacky anyway. So I'm gonna say, oh, I'm telepathically telling the fly to get out. Well, I felt that. And I don't know if you ever saw that movie Willard.
I think I did.
Yeah, a long time. The scene where he had rats, you know, his pets. He took a couple of them to work, and his boss saw the rat, and you know, to pick up a stick and beat it to death, and he didn't say anything. He didn't say, oh, this is my pet rat. And so he felt really bad. The other rat was really angry at him, like, you let him kill our friend, you know, so he felt really bad. I had that feeling like I didn't say anything. I could have saved his life. I felt guilty all day worrying about I didn't save this fly's life. And then finally, like, the spirit said to me, but you tried. The fly didn't listen. Well, just like you do. And not listening, that was the consequence of not listening. See, now, so you're not at fault. So I'm going to let go of that guilt. But, you know, realizing that everything has a right to life, that's a big step for us. Because we think, oh, you're in my space, I should kill you. And we don't think about it because we can't feel them. We can't hear them. We don't see them as beings like us. So we kill everything.
Yeah.
So now, one day I had the tiniest thing has a mind and has feelings. One morning I got to take a shower, and I'm in the shower, and it was like, I think, end of November, you know, getting into the winter time. And I know usually insect was dead by then. But I get in the shower, and I see there's a gnat on the wall. Tiny, tiny, tiny little gnat. And I'm thinking, it wasn't, all ants are supposed to be dead. It's going to be wintertime. So I projected the question to the gnat. What are you doing here? And the gnat said back to me, because I'm running the shower, you know, there's water running everything, and the gnat says, this feels like a spring rain. And so I knew that this gnat just wanted to enjoy this last feeling of being in the spring rain before the end of its life. So I said, sit there on the wall and, you know, enjoy a shower with me. So the gnat was there again the next morning, and I turned on the shower, took a shower, we took a shower together, they sat there and enjoyed the water. Now the third day, there was two of them. And so I asked the gnat, who is this? And the gnat said, this is my friend.
Okay.
So, like, for a whole week, I'd get in the shower, and I don't know where they were in the house during the day, but every morning they would take a shower with me just to enjoy the feeling of being in the spring rain. And then after about 5 days, I only saw one of them, and I asked her, well, what happened to your friend? And I heard he died. And then maybe a day later after that, he was with me one more day, and then after that I didn't see him anymore, and I realized he had died also. So, I mean, they just wanted to enjoy that last feeling of being in the spring rain before the end of their life, because, of course, it was, you know, wintertime, the end of their season. So how simple was it to let them just have that little bit of joy before they transitioned out of this life? It's a little thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, we look at something, oh, I got something to blow, let me kill it. Because we don't feel them as beings like us. We don't empathize. We can't hear. We can't communicate. We think they're dumb. They're dead. They're things. Kill it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we would just tune in and empathize with their life experience and respect
wow.
their life experience so much. So the first step in interspecies communication is respect.
Mm.
First of all, you have to calm your mind with the breathing, the same kind of breathing exercise that you do every Monday. You have to calm your mind so that you're not projecting all the agitation that we experience as human beings. You know, oh, I got to get out the door and get to work, pay my bills, and get rid of all of that. Because nobody wants to feel that energy.
Right.
So you have to calm your mind, and then you project the thought with respect. Sitting with respect, you know, like, may I speak? And it's respect because you're acknowledging that they are a being equal to you. That's what they respond to.
Wow.
So like the analogy I gave the day when you know how you feel if you go to a shop and maybe it's run by foreigners who don't really speak English that well, but they got a nasty attitude to you, kind of arrogant, like, what do you want? Yeah, get out.
Yeah.
And you feel like, why do I want to do business?
And then watching you all the way.
Yeah, and watching you like, oh, you probably feel something. I mean, it's arrogant. So,
right.
You're feeling like, wait a minute, you can't even speak my language. Are you going to be arrogant at me?
Right.
So that's the same way it is with when we're communicating with other species. You know, I'm going to be arrogant. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to treat you like you're nothing. You know, why should I talk to you? I don't want to talk to you.
I know that's
so
right.
Is respect. I'm respecting who you are as a being, equal to me. And that's a big step for human beings because our whole life we've been taught, oh, we're supposed to rule the earth and subdue it and all this stuff. And so we
and go it. And go in other countries and rule them.
And rule them.
Yeah.
Because we don't see them as being equal
mm-mm.
to us. And
they're not equal to us. We're superior.
Right.
That's the thought set. That's not what we say.
Right.
No.
Right.
That's the mindset that we've been conditioned to believe. Furthest thing from the truth. 827.
Right.
Let's get a quick call. 773-221. You are live on the BBL. Greg Rodney, hi. Where are you from?
Yes, Sister Naima, just a second, let me. Sister Naima, remember when I was in Denver, Colorado, 14, 15 months
Who
ago? Andrew
this?
Nelson Bay.
Are you?
Andrew
Who
Nelson
is
Bay. This is Andrew Nelson
voice.
Bay.
Thank you, Andrew Nelson Bay.
Yes. And I was with Your Majesty Najia, Millennium Queen L, self-styled Empress of Heaven and Earth and the Holy Spirit, flesh, blood, and bone. Do you remember? Well, I would call you, and I said, she's the real deal.
Yeah, I remember that,
Naima.
Yes.
She showed, we were in a restaurant in December of 2020, and she showed me a photograph of her husband, Erwin Muhammad, of the Nation of Islam, and he seems to be a shapeshifter. from being an original, an aboriginal Asiatic black man to looking like an extraterrestrial. When you see the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad wearing those dark glasses in his older age, he looks extraterrestrial, doesn't he?
Well, you know, Andrew, that's a whole nother show. And I could talk about extraterrestrials, but that's a whole nother show in itself. Because
Tynella Muhammad, wife of the...
That not only is spoken on Earth, but is everywhere. And that is telepathy. Every being,
yeah.
Everywhere, even in other galaxies. But we can't, we have forgotten it. And we've trained our children out of it because we don't understand it, because we have this attitude of superiority. So we can't even communicate with those outside our world because we won't even teach that they exist. That's how ignorant we are.
You're so kind to share your blood, Naima. That's what Viata says. Viata.
I have more things I want to say.
Okay, she also says, I've heard how the bees give medicine for disease, and that's exactly what Baba Kwame's Sun Horse just said about the mosquitoes. It's like, wow, who knew? We never, ever knew this because we were not taught this. I need you to hold that comment for just a minute. Andrew Nelson Bay, well, go ahead while I find out next commercial because it's time for our commercials.
Mother Tynella Muhammad, wife of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, has a lot of papers that are very valuable. I suspect her son, Rasul Hakim Muhammad, is in charge of the estate insofar as the intellectual property of Mother Tynella Muhammad, which is extremely valuable, as relates to mental telepathy, as relates to universal intelligence, that divine thing that you were talking about, I think is called universal intelligence, insofar as this unseen hand. And the number 19, by the way, refers to the law of the Persian Bayan, which is the eternal law of the land. You see, and I wrote a bunch of letters to Minister Farrakhan back in January and February of this year, leading up to Savior's Day. I sent you a couple of blind carbon copies of it. I'm going to get some hard copies of each.
Can we just speed up the commercial break?
Yeah, to make a long story short, I'm saying, this is Andrew Nelson Bay speaking on this Nowruz, this Baha'i New Year, which is really our Eid Fitra, you know, Ramadan Mubarak. To make a long story short,
okay, we'll come back.
The law of the Persian.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these voices of enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Susan Essentials is re-engineering what health looks like by leading you to the best wellness initiatives in the world. Start your coaching plan today and create a new paradigm of health. Click here to learn more.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Where customers can buy, share, and earn. Meet Sam. Sam owns an e-commerce business that sells athletic shoes and running gear. Sam wants to increase her sales without increasing marketing spend.
So she decides to do a little stalling.
On QuickLick, her loyal customers can get paid for sharing her products with their friends. Sam uploads her products to the marketplace, just like she would on Amazon or Shopify. Meet Laura. Laura is in the market for a new pair of shoes and comes across Sam's brand on the QuickLick marketplace. Laura is able to purchase the shoes and check out like she would on any other e-commerce site. After purchasing, Laura receives a unique Quick Link that she can share with friends to begin earning Quick Cash. Her friend Jessica opens Laura's Quick Link on her phone and purchases a pair of shoes. Because Jessica purchases using Laura's Quick Link, Laura receives Quick Cash in her account. After purchasing, Jessica can now share her own Quick Link and begin earning Quick Cash as well. But QuickLick is more than just your typical referral or affiliate platform. QuickLick rewards customers for sales they directly and indirectly influence. So, for every sale Jessica's new QuickLick makes, Laura will earn additional Quick Cash as well, making the potential for earning exponential. Laura and Jessica can transfer their Quick Cash balance to their bank account at any time, or can even use Quick Cash to make additional purchases in the app. Meanwhile, Sam can just watch as the sales roll in. Best of all, she doesn't have to worry about costs, since she is only spending marketing dollars when actual purchases are made. Start buying, sharing, and earning today at QuickClick.com.
And we got our first check. I looked at my account. We are so happy. We got money. Yay! We've been recommended. We've been doing people tired of shopping on Amazon and other Bitsy and Etsy and all other ones and not making a dime. So we found one in which we use it as a fundraiser. We buy Coca. These are the only two products that we bought. And that we continue to buy back because we buy what we need, not what just to go shopping. So this is the hot cocoa, and this is the noni juice, which is good for the immune system. All that information is on my blog, so go check it out so you can start learning how to get some money, too.
That's right.
Because
yes.
Ain't nobody else giving you nothing. So go to info@higherlearningnetwork.org. As we continue the conversation, interspecies communication, how we communicate with non-humans, the phone line is lit up. I think we're going to go over 9 o'clock today. Let's go to the phone line. 336-350. Please take yourself off mute. You are live on the air. Hi, who's this? Where are you calling from? Unmute yourself. 336-350.
I'm here. Greetings, family. Can you hear me?
Who is this? Is that Mama AZ? Hey, Mama AZ.
It is. The time change has got me. And anyway, thank you, Brother Kwame, and thank you, Brother Nelson, for the input of the new year. It is, and thank us. I'm half asleep. The time change, family. Anyway, something woke me up, told me to turn the phone on, and there you were, Dr. Lateef, talking about your experiences with the little creatures, and it took me back to the stronghold and the skunks, the little skunks that were one. I think one was a juvenile, a little baby, because he wanted to get into food and break bread and everything. And 2 weeks I was there, and we had a party. And one interesting thing I learned about the skunk. When they get food, they back up. They don't turn around. They back up and go into their area to eat their food. And I think that's because they're watching, you know, to see their surroundings. So they just back up. And it was just interesting to have 2 weeks with those creatures and the bluebirds that would take my chips in relay. They would send two or three at a time and tell them it's some chips over there. And they would send relay birds. I even have a little bit of that on film. When one leaves, a couple would come and land and get and then fly off, and then another crew would come in until all of those chips were gone. I put a whole bag out there and watch them just to relay and take the chips back to their wherever, their home. It was just, creatures are fascinating if you really open your mind to the thinking. Yeah, that's all. You got other people. I'm grateful that I was able to tune in, family. I'm still here at the facility waiting for some special shoes so that I could walk a minute. Thank you.
Okay. That's, Baba Kwame Sunhorse is still on. You mentioned him. Have you want to say before we take another call?
Yeah, and then I want to tell you all the squirrel story.
Okay. And, you know, I got to – we all got stories.
Yeah.
Baba Kwame. Still there? Okay, let's go to 779-801. You are live on the Female Solution, Grand Rising.
Yeah,
oh, there he is.
Grand Rising, this is Maika. How are you this morning, everyone?
Hi, Maika, my sister of the microphone. Thank you so much for calling, my sister.
I'm like Mama AZ. I just woke up and Naima was telling her little story. So let me go on and tell mine.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people say that I'm wise, but there was a time when I was as ignorant and foolish as I am wise today.
Okay.
In 1966, a bunch of us were convinced that we needed to grow food, and that was the first step free. And so I agreed, you know, and the thing was, I was afraid of snakes and bugs, so I wasn't going to go out in the field. And everybody in the community used to tease me and talk about me, and I said, y'all can talk about me as much as you want. I'm not going out there in the field till I'm over this fear. So I began diligently working to eradicate that fear. And there's a scripture that says, fear is absence of the supports offered to you by reason. So reasonably, I just started studying everything about snakes and bugs. The last thing I did was I went to the curator of reptiles at the zoo in Memphis, Tennessee, because I figured if I could translate into my brain what was in his brain, I wouldn't be afraid. And I did. I went and asked all the questions about all the wives' tales that I'd heard about snakes, and he dispelled many of them, and then I was ready. The next thing I did was I put myself in a state of meditation, and I imagined myself laying in this pit. And it was a pit of snakes, and they were crawling all over me and everything. And I was at perfect repose. I was at peace. And I said, I can do this now. So I rented a piece of land with a house on it, and snakes was everywhere. And the wasp was everywhere in the house. in the house, in the attic, and everything.
Wow.
So I communicated to the snakes, and I told the snakes, well, you all going to have to move on because we're going to be living here. And, you know, and they were so beautiful. I could actually see the beauty in snakes, you know, as they would sliver along. And then the
wall,
I said, look, y'all can live in the attic because I'm going to need you as I'm growing food out here in the back. I said, but if you sting me or any of my children, I'm going to kill all y'all. And I said, and if you come downstairs, I'm going to kill you, or if I feel good, I'll put you outside. But don't be stinging people here. They never stung any of me nor my children. We would play volleyball where they swarmed at and on the outside wall of the building. They never bothered us.
And wow. Just,
and they did what, and they helped fertilize the plants. They understood. They truly understood. And I did have to put a few of them out. And so that was a great experience. And I had friends who would, when they have backyard parties here in Chicago, they would say, Maika, would you tell the bees to leave, please, because they bothering us. And I would communicate. I would tell the bees, I say, they don't want y'all here. Y'all want to be where you wanted, right? So y'all need to go on somewhere else because they don't want you here. And they would fly off and leave everybody alone.
Girl, I remember that this summer.
Yes. I mean, that's the thing. If you acknowledge that everything has intelligence and you acknowledge their right to life, but you can let them know this space is not where you should be, and it's out of respect, they will remove themselves.
There are two species that I have not been able to communicate that, and that's flies and mosquitoes. They seem to have a hard head. And yesterday I had a wonderful experience. I had an experience of going to a horse ranch that's set up for the rehabilitation of veterans, and got a chance to experience the horses and give them some attention. It was just beautiful, and they were such intelligent animals. I've always loved horses, and I want you to know that there's a need for workers at this Black-run veterans horse farm. So if anybody's interested in working with horses and veterans in the rehabilitation process, you can get in touch with me. I'm at Maika Maika. That's M-Y-E-K-A. Myeka@yahoo.com. I appreciate hearing from you. Thank you
so much, Maika. Yes, it is. Hold on a second, Baba Kwame. Maika, what's that email address again?
MyekaMaika@yahoo.com.
At Yahoo. Okay, and I'll put that on my blog too. And they need workers for the horse ranch.
They got like some horses. And they need help with keeping the horses together and anybody who knows how to work with veterans in terms of rehabilitation. This is in Waseca, Illinois.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that, Maika. I will definitely post it.
Now, before we take another call, because, you know, she said that about animals in the space in your house and everything.
Uh-huh.
And the situation that we had with the squirrels, it was difficult for me going through that. And you know, there are these squirrels that they live in a tree in front of our house all year long. But then in the wintertime, you know, like they chew the hole so they get to our attic. And basically for like 2-3 years, they would raise their children. They would, you know, have a group of children, you know, and raise them during the wintertime in our attic. And then in the spring they'd come out and, you know, going and move back in the tree. So they've been doing this for a couple of years, and I see the male and female kind of, you know, scamper around everything. And then wintertime came, they come and stay in our attic. Well, of course, it didn't bother me. But my mother, you know, she's elderly, and, you know, she's hearing the noise in the attic, and for her, it was kind of like, okay, they're coming through the roof, through the ceiling. You got to call the exterminator. And I was feeling kind of bad about that, but I understood she was afraid. So now the squirrels outside, you know, and I tried to explain to them, you know, I don't mind being here, but, you know, she's afraid. but also understood they needed a warm place to stay in the winter.
Mm.
So now I was sitting in the house one day, and I ran across this pack of old Oreo cookies, and I knew they were old. I was like, I can't eat these. Well, let me give it to the squirrel outside. So you know, I brought the pack of cookies, opened up, and said, okay, you can have these, and laid them at the base of the tree. And one of the squirrels came down, picked up one, and it kind of dropped, and I was going into the car because I was getting ready to drop my daughter off to work. And I got in the car, and he kind of held up the cookie and it was to say thank you. You know, I heard a thank you, you know. And I even took a picture of it. It was like, hold the cookie, well, thank you. But then my daughter, she comes out the door on her way to the car to go to work. She said, well, what is this pack of cookies going on the lawn? And I said, well, I'm leaving it for the squirrel. She said, you don't do that. She put it in the car. She said, don't you know that they shouldn't eat human food? That's what makes animals in the wild sick, and you're not supposed to feed them like that. I'm like, really? You don't want to throw it away? No, but you're doing worse harm by giving them something sugary. That's
wow.
What it is. Illnesses. So we're fussing about it all the way to work. I'm driving. everything. And then when I get back to the house, and she told me, throw those cookies out. Well, I didn't want to throw them out, so I took them out of the car, and I put them back on the lawn, and I said, look, you got to get rid of these, you know, before that mean lady come back, you know, at the end of the day and take them away from you again. So the squirrel, what he did, start taking cookies, and he was taking them up, I saw him run up the wall of our house, and I knew they were, like, stashed them in the attic for the winter.
Right, right.
Anyway, and a couple of, you know, about an hour later, all the cookies were gone, and so I, you know, took the package, threw it away, got rid of the evidence, so I didn't hear from my daughter fussing again. So, you know, I knew that they were living up there, and they were storing food up there, but they kept making noise, and my mother kept getting upset. So I finally called an exterminator, and he came and said, okay, I'm setting these traps. And, you know, what they do is that we put food in the trap, and the animal goes in there, and then the trap closes. And so once the animal's trapped, then we come and we take the traps away, and we take the animals away somewhere where they can't come back. So I felt kind of bad doing that, and I was thinking, if there was any kind of way I could just let them go, stay away from the trap, stay away from the house, you know, you're frightening my mother. But what happened was one of them got caught in the trap one day, and it was banging around, and, you know, my daughter called, because we heard this banging up in the attic, so we went up to the attic and saw one of them had been trapped in there, and it had died. I guess it just banged around and banged around so much it just had a heart attack, you know, whatever. It just died. It was, like, stiff. And I felt so horrible. I thought, oh, no. So I said, just take the rest, because they had put four traps up there. I said, just take the rest of the traps away. I felt really, really awful. So the next morning, I'm up with my daughter, and, you know, we're, you know, in the morning, breakfast and everything, and so then I start, and then I heard this sound up in the attic, and I knew that the mother had gone out, and I'd seen her the previous day running around getting food, and I felt bad because I realized she was by herself, and I started crying, and my daughter was like, what's wrong? And I said, we killed her, you know. What happened? I'm just crying and crying. My daughter, she gets on her phone, she looks up online, she said, oh, well, and so, you know, girls aren't monogamous. So she probably been with nine different guys by now. And I'm like, oh, that was her mate, because I know they've been together for years. And so later that day, I'm sitting out on the porch. And the squirrel, you know, she's three, and I look at her, and I just start pouring my heart into her. I said, look, I'm sorry about what happened. I didn't know what else to do. My mother was afraid. She's senior. She's old. She was afraid. I didn't want that to happen to you. I'm so sorry. I'm a widow. I know what it feels like to lose your husband. I'm so sorry. And I pour my heart out to this squirrel intensely. And then she starts bouncing up and down and twirling her tail. And I'm feeling her say, it's okay. I understand. It's okay. And I'm feeling this wave of forgiveness. And I said, oh, my God. I can't believe you. Forgive me for this. And, I mean, could a human being have that kind of forgiveness if you caused the death of their loved one? I'm overwhelmed. There's the forgiveness coming from her. And that just amazed me. But
wow.
That was such a profound
experience. Wow.
The love that they have, the forgiveness capacity that they have is far superior to what human beings have.
Wow.
My sincere regret and forgave me.
Wow.
So that just, for me, is like, I will never again. again look down on any kind of animal. If there's any kind of way I can avoid causing the death of anybody, I will avoid it.
Now, that's a story.
Yeah.
That's a story. And we got some comments here, too, that I want to share. Viata says, no, Deborah says, the squirrels are scavengers and eat out of the garbage, too.
Yeah, so they ain't going to just sit. What felt so bad was that I had fed this squirrel, and I'm thinking, he gets up to the attic, he's thinking, oh, my friend left me a little treat. And so he went into the trap and got trapped. So I was feeling kind of bad, like, because he trusted me, he got trapped, so it was my fault. That's the guilt that I had.
Mm-hmm.
So, I felt bad about the trap, and I haven't set any more traps since, and I just...
Don't need to. Do I hear birds in the background, Baba Kwame?
Yes, that's the forest. That's my community. They're all out here singing their morning songs.
Oh.
What Naima is sharing about the squirrel, and it would be advised, I can share a book. It's Animal Speak Pocket Guide by Ted Andrews. Excellent, because it has insects, it has mammals, it has the reptiles, and it also has sea creatures. And what the squirrel represents is work and play. It means to balance your work and play. Prepare for the future, but do not get lost in preparation. Find ways to gather and to gift. And so that's what the squirrel is gifted, because when people come to visit out here, I tell them, oh, these insects and these bugs and this and that. And I'm going like, look, you're visiting. They live here.
Okay.
We come into their house, and the part of Naima and them being in the attic, because if you look it up in the attic, it's all wood. That's the frame, and they're in an environment that is conducive to them. Those are trees that you've taken and turned into your house.
Yes.
And so what we're looking at is that we build in their environment, because we're the youngest beings on the planet. We were made last.
They were here first.
Right.
Right. And so what we do is invade and come in and want to destroy and kill and call poison and do things to trap and to make it saying that this is mine and you can't be it. But this was all theirs before we came here. And mosquitoes are very important, because a mosquito in itself tells us that your self-worth begins to attack on your self-worth. Irritation and unresolved issues become aggravating. Focus on personal joys. That's what the mosquito represents.
Oh.
It's coming to give us everything in nature, communicates, and it has a message. The thing that we have to do is learn how to communicate and receive what they're coming to give us. And that's the part of the arrogance of humans, that we've so taken ourselves to think that we're greater when we're just as the animal. Because if you take us out of the urban areas and you put you in the forest, all of your natural instincts will kick back in. It is inevitable. That's why people are able to survive in wilderness, is because your natural instincts, that part of that animal part of the brain, will kick back in and begin to teach you how to forage and live, because the forest is a community. It has grandmothers, grandfathers. It has adults. It has plant residents. It has a pharmacy. The farm you see is the plant relatives of medicine that you need to help cure what it is that's gone wrong with you. And equestrian therapy is what Maika, and I commend her for going there, because that's what I did at English Gap. We used to take rescue horses and use them for veterans with PTSD, because the horse is a prey animal. It instinctively knows what's wrong with you and will help to bring out of you. That's why they use them with autistic children and those types. So, yeah, we need to begin to do this.
Looks like we're going to go into the after show, so we're going to play the ending of the show. But don't go anywhere, because the after show, that's where it gets good. So if you want to make a comment, you need to push one. I mean, push the raise your hand on the switchboard right now because it'll cut off at 9 o'clock and we won't be able to get your comment. But what's the number name?
515-605-9325. Dial us now.
Got about 20. Press 1 to speak and just hold on until we play the ending. We'll be right back for the after show.
NAIMAHLATIF.com. Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows. Order our books. And be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jared. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakor. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
It is officially 9 a.m., and it is just like coming to church. I had to share this with you from the Black Ensemble Theater because we support the arts, and you need to know, yesterday was press day at the Black Ensemble Theater, 4450 North Clark Street, honey. If you don't have your tickets, shame on you. It ain't too late. Go get them. There's the information right there, and it'll be on my blog as well on zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com, but I just had to share that with you. And I don't know why I can't see myself. Okay, I might want to put myself back in the movie at the stream. Okay, that's why. So thank you so very much for staying here with us on The Female Solution. And The Female Solution is being brought to you by StreamYard, one of our sponsors here, and Naima Latif will be back shortly. In the meantime, in between time, I must show you The Female Solution promo. If you are not familiar with it, you will be very shortly. And if you ever want to contact us, you can always do that. And you can contact me at info@higherlearningnetwork.org as I share The Female Solution Roundup for you so you can enjoy your show 7 days a week.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And thank you for being a part of the solution because your comments is what make the difference in the show. Because without you, there's no us. We just be talking to the ear. But before we take our next caller, which is very shortly because I see a bunch of hands lit up, Let me remind you that the Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest is the last Saturday of every month. And this month is this Saturday, the 26th. We start at 12 noon, and we're giving away a $500 scholarship in honor of the former late Mayor Harold Washington. So I know you have nieces and nephews and children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. They all have talent, and we just want to give them exposure and allow them the opportunity to practice their talent and possibly receive cash for doing that. So if you have ages between 13 and 19, send in a one-minute video audition to hlntvshow@gmail.com. If you can send that in, you can support the Teen Talent Contest every last Thursday of the month. So you can send that information in, and we can get them in the contest. Just send it to hlntvshow@gmail.com. And if you have any other questions, you can also ask those questions while you're there. And we ask that you help celebrate and promote the work that our youth are doing by encouraging them by voting when the show is live on Saturday between 12 and 1. And if you ever want to make a donation to help them financially, you can do that as well. It's a tax-deductible donation. Just go to higherlearningnetwork.org and scroll down and you see. Just submit your information, and or just go to PayPal and send it to higherlearningnw@yahoo.com. So be sure and support the Global Virtual Teen Talent coming up this Saturday, because we get children from all over the world, and I just love it. I'm just so honored to be a part of this. And we'll have live voting right here. And you can also do it on hlntvshow@gmail.com. You can vote as many times as you want. So that is what we are doing. So we invite you to continue with us. So let us continue the after show. Naima is back, and we've got to take some calls. I didn't even get a chance to tell my story, but I'm going to tell my story. No, but I want to get the callers first. So let's go to the phone line and get some stories, because I know you all got stories, and we're going to take every last one of them. So just give me, let me see here.
My mic's still open, Deselda.
Yes, it is. Let me get another call right quick, Maika. 7732.
Okay, I do have another story. Thank you.
Okay, good. Hold on. 773-263, you're live on the Female Solution. Hi, who's this? Where are you calling from?
Chicago.
Hi, what's your name?
Rashida.
Rashida! Hey, Rashida. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Yeah, thank you very kind for having me.
Yes. What's your story here?
My story is I'm interested and have a product to sell to assist homeless people with permanent housing and therapy.
And, really?
Yes, because helping the homeless and now experiencing everything, I know that there's a definite need to help that targeted group. They do have through the city and state availability for women with children facilitation, but nothing for single women, and that's a need. And I really am adamant about this because I've been victimized out here in my transition, stabbed recently because I was rejoicing, not drunkard, rejoiced, but happy rejoiced with another lady about hearing from my son. And this man told me to shut up, and he stabbed me. And so I went to the hospital, and he went to the jail. They let him out. And so since he was homeless and we were facilitating him, I know that I had to move myself out of the situation and reach out to others. So what I'm doing, I have a product, two products that's marketed. One is called two hair products for natural hair, and I'm selling that, and we're putting a trust up for that targeted group. So if you want to walk in to the shop, you can, and get the hair product. We have
Rashida.
Yeah.
Rashida.
Is there a website you want to just give that so people can just follow up?
Yeah.
You know, that's how everybody does
www.grassrootsorganization.wordpress.com.
Say that again.
www.grassrootsorganization.wordpress.com.
Hold on, because I'm typing it in. Grassroots organization.
Yes.
You know what's interesting? As you type that in, what's interesting, what we've created in terms of our technology and the internet and everything, sending and receiving images, this is what animals do as part of the language of interspecies communication. Now, you know how you take a picture of somebody and you send it to somebody on their cell phone?
Yeah.
Well, that's what they do when they're explaining, when they're talking to you telepathically, they send you a picture, or maybe you can look at it as a little short video of what happened. And then your brain translates it to our verbal language. But they're doing, like Robert Kwame's talking about.
I don't know what happened.
Our technology, but basically our brains have the same capacity to do what our computers do. We can send an image to someone that tells a story. We can send like with your mind, and we do it all the time. We just are unconscious of it. Just like when you're walking down the street and someone intends to harm you. First of all, they send a vibration of friendliness, and second of all, they might even unknowingly send you an image of them grabbing you, you receive that, but we in our human state have been taught to ignore the intuitive communication, which is the actual real communication, because it's from your heart. That's why they call it by heart. You know something by heart. That means it's real. It's a part of you. It's in your heart. One of the things that we do as humans is ignore the messages that we get, and this is why we end up ignoring when someone is sending us a message that they are not our friends. But in the animal kingdom, you feel, and that's part of your survival, being able to pick up vibes. Now, I have a quick story that I'll share, and if I said it on this show before, forgive me, I might have said it on somebody else's show, maybe Beata's or something, but, you know, when I was one of the things that encouraged or motivated me to write the book, The Female Solution, I saw that one of our major problems was that our families had fallen apart. And families, and as I taught in the schools, and I saw children that were disruptive, upset, all the things, the common denominator was that they didn't have a father in the home, the family had fallen apart. And there was so much stress because the mother was trying to do everything and hollering at the children and all of that. So I saw that that was the issue that creates all the problems that we have, the crime, the violence, the disruption, the chaos. That one thing, our family's falling apart. So that was my impetus for writing the book, The Female. And in that process, I looked at all the different ways that the animal kingdom, you know, how they taught their children, how they raised their children, how they stuck together, how they formed unions. So I used those examples in the book, and I was watching a lot of nature shows on Channel 11 and all that, and I would use examples from the animal kingdom. But in the course of writing the book, one day I had an experience, and I won't say it was a dream because I realized it was actually a past life memory.
Oh.
And this is when I was in a community of buffalo. It was one of my lives that I lived in a buffalo herd.
Okay.
And one of the things I learned in studying Dolores Cannon, she said that, you know, when she takes a client through a past life regression, their subconscious, their soul will show them a previous life that has relevance to their current life. You know, whether that you used to be a farmer, maybe you'll go back to the time when you were a farmer because in this life, you know, you're gonna do some great discoveries in agriculture or something. So anyway, whatever life you're given when you go back to a past life regression, it's a life that's relevant to what you're going through now. So I did
know that at the time, but when I had this memory, and I was a child in a buffalo herd, and I was out grazing with my mother, and she had always told me, stay close to the herd, don't stray away, pay attention, you know, so you can stay safe, stay close to me, so you can stay safe. So she had taught me this. And so we're out grazing, and I'm remembering all the senses that come to that. I remember how the grass smelled. It was so good. And I know I was only like maybe less than a week old, maybe. So I was, you know, a little skinny leg. I looked down. I saw my feet, you know, split hooves. I knew I was, you know, that's who I was. Anyway, so I'm with my mother. We're in this field of grass, and I'm smelling the grass. Smelled so good, but, I was still a child, still nursing and everything. But, you know, my eyes got distracted by a butterfly flitting away, and I was watching the butterfly, and meanwhile, my mother had moved away further, and I wasn't paying attention because I was going to stay by her side. Wasn't paying attention. And watching the butterfly, all of a sudden, I had this feeling I was being watched. And I looked up, and in the bushes, my eyes met a leopard.
Ooh.
Because I knew that this leopard had singled me out to eat, because number one, I'm young and weak. And number two, I let myself get separated from my mother and the herd, and I'm now a target. And I knew my mother had taught me that the way you got to get away, you have to run in an unpredictable zigzag tag. You can't go left, to the right, to the left. It's got to be unpredictable, because if they can figure out the pattern you're running, they can trip you up.
Yep.
And if you can't, you're done. Then they grab you up. That's it. So I take off running. I mean, all these thoughts coming to my mind, like this split second thought. I'm trying to get back to the herd, back to my mother, and I'm running as fast as I can. I'm running, you know, left, left, right, left, right. You know, just dodging and everything. And this leopard is on my tail, and I'm running as fast as I can. If you ever run in a sprint, you know when you're running full force, you're hyperventilating, can't catch your breath, and I'm running. And I'm like, I can't make it. I'm feeling like, you know, I'm just about to collapse, and suddenly all the cows in the herd surrounded me. And I saw my father. He's a big bull of the herd. He went bounding out of the crowd of cows, you know, of buffalo, and he right at the leopard, and they were doing battle. And I'm in this crowd of cow legs, you know. And I'm like, my heart is pounding. I'm like, oh, I need a drink. And I started nursing my mother, because she was standing there, and I'm sucking on her, you know, what they call it, udders, I guess, her breath.
Something
like that. And I'm tasting how it feels. The taste was soothing and calming me down. And meanwhile, I'm watching this battle, and I see, you know, the leopard, he's, you know, fangs went into my father's shoulder. I saw the skin ripped off and blood and everything. And then my father turned around and stabbed him with his horn, and I hear the leopard go, you know, scream, and he goes running off into the bushes. And my father, and I'm feeling bad. I felt all the emotions of that moment.
Wow, and we're feeling them right here with you.
And I felt, first of all, I felt gratitude. He risked his life to save me. I felt the gratitude of it. I felt admiration for this big, strong. He was looking around like anybody else. He had this big, strong presence, and I felt admiration, and then I felt guilt because I saw the blood. You know, he had been gashed in this fight, and I saw the blood from his shoulder, but they also had a little tip of blood on his horn when he stabbed the leopard. But I felt the guilt of having put him through that, because I didn't pay attention to what my mother told me. Do not stray away, pay attention. And I also realized that what he did for me, he's the head of this family, he's got to do this for every child in the herd. So my role as a child is to obey my parents,
mm-hmm.
because if I don't, then I'm putting his life at risk and affecting the whole community.
Mm.
So I understood, and then in that moment I understood everything. I understood why he was the head of the family, because when you head a family, you have to have enough love in your heart to put your life on the line for your family.
Yep.
So that's what makes you worthy of being the head of a family. And as a child in that community, I have to obey so that I don't cause harm to the family. So I understood that obedience is not done out of fear of punishment. It's done out of love.
Mm.
You love your family. You love your parents. You don't want to bring harm to them. So I resolved I was never going to be that careless again.
Mm.
I understood everything. I understood why all the females in the herd respected him, why he was the one who was worthy of fathering the children, because he had the love in his heart to protect them.
Mm.
I understood everything. So, but I didn't until I studied interspecies communication, I didn't understand how it was that I knew how to run. Because I didn't remember my mother teaching me. It's like demonstrating, but I knew. And then after I studied interspecies communication, I realized that the way animals teach their children, they send them the information. So she had sent me the image of me running and dodging and, you know, so this is how I learn. This is how they teach. I'm sending you how to do this. I'm showing you the picture of what it looks like so that you understand. So now, human beings have this skill, but we lost it when we substituted our intuitive capacity for verbal language.
Mm.
And the reason why we lost it is because our verbal language no longer represents our feelings. We use our verbal language to convey a thought, but it's not always a true thought from our heart. In other words, we've learned how to lie. And as soon as you say something and you don't really feel it, you're lying. And therefore, what you're sending to the person in terms of an image or a feeling isn't congruent with the words you're speaking. So children are born with this intuitive ability to communicate in that universal telepathic language, but the moment you punish them, the moment you cause them pain for doing something, you've eliminated the trust that they have in you.
Mm.
And taught them how to lie. So just think of, you got this 2-year-old, and they still have the intuitive capacity, but then maybe they do something. They touch the stove, and you've told them not to touch the stove. And so you start slapping their hand. I told you not to touch. Now, just think, if we still had the capacity that our animal friends have, and we could send telepathically to that child the feeling of, you know, hurt if you touch the stove, so that they would understand it's hot, don't touch it, how much more that would make sense than us beating them because they did something. Because they're still not understanding. They just know we got beat. So once you get beat, you just learn how to lie and say you didn't do something, as opposed to you understanding why you shouldn't. And this is we've had this conversation with people who believe you got to beat your children because you got to beat the devil out of them. You got to keep them safe. No, if you could help them understand, then they would obey. I mean, I didn't get a beating when I wandered off and got chased by the leopard. You know, I understood once I saw what my carelessness caused, I understood why my mother told me those things, and I, in my heart, didn't want to cause harm anymore.
Mm.
This is how we humans have to learn to raise our children. Give them, first of all, empathy for their family, their community. You don't want to cause any harm. And then understand why you shouldn't do things that harm other people. They will obey out of understanding, not out of fear of punishment.
Because
mm-hmm. fear of punishment means I just don't want you to hurt me, but mm-hmm. I'm gonna do what I want to do anyway.
Right.
Without understanding that you don't want to harm anybody.
Mm.
We keep thinking that we're superior because we have verbal language. Our verbal language has actually caused us to be less intelligent.
Mm.
We don't know how to teach our children without harming them and hurting them and teaching them how to lie to avoid pain. So it was we who have to catch up to where animals are and their truthfulness in communication and their ability to raise their children and teach their children without brutalizing them and teaching their children to lie in order to avoid pain. This is what I learned. And that past life memory, and the reason why I was allowed to remember, my soul sent me that message from another lifetime, was because of the work that I'm doing in this lifetime. The book, The Female Solution, I was motivated to write that to encourage women to understand that the solution is for us to collectively mother our children, to work together in mothering our love and nurturing and keep them safe. That's the solution to the crime, the violence, the ignorance, the suffering. We can collectively mother our children, then we will not have these problems. But we, the women, we get stuck on, the man having sex with my husband. It's not about the sex. And what that experience, that remembering of that lifetime told me, is not about sex. It's about protecting your child. It's about the child. I was allowed to remember what I felt like being in a community of mothers, that how that felt, and the love that it engendered in, and realizing that community had decided to protect my life as a collective. They all surrounded me. My father did battle for me. It was a community decision because they valued my life. So when you realize how valuable you are, then you value other lives.
Mm-hmm.
What lesson do we teach our children? You don't mean nothing. You ain't nothing. You don't have any value. We don't care about you. We don't care if you're starving. We don't care if you're out in the cold. We don't care if you're homeless. We don't care if you're suffering. We don't care about you. You don't matter. So, of course, we give them the message. They don't matter. That's how come we don't matter. That's how come they, y'all carjacked. Y'all take what you got. You won't share it. Yeah, I'll take it. I'll put a gun in your face. I'll rob you of all your things. Just, I don't care about you because you didn't care about our children. That's how come the world that we have created is a mess.
Mm.
And of course, the animal kingdom and the communication that they have, the cooperation that they have. I mean, look, bees make honey. They can manufacture that use product. Do you see anybody punching the clock?
Mm-hmm.
They don't go to work every day. They work together. They help the flowers. They pollinate the flowers. They're working with nature, producing a product that we're using. And then they all do their job. Ain't nobody going to the bank to cash a check. They have not created a system to exclude people from survival. We did that. How is that making us more superior, more intelligent? Everything we do is anti-nature, anti-God, and that's how come it's not working.
And you wonder why.
And we wonder why.
Now you know.
You need to study them and understand there's a way of being, which means respecting all life, respecting that everything has a place, respecting that everything has a consciousness, everything has a language, a culture, and everything has a right to life. When we can comprehend that, then we can correct the mess that we have made on this earth.
Because we have certainly made a mess. And to take us out of this mess, it's 9:27. We got 3 minutes. I know Maika wanted to make another comment before we go. Maika, are you still with us? Okay.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. There was so much in that message that Naima gave. I want to go through a story about, I grew up around animals, and I chose to have animals around my children as they grew up. And at one point, my daughter had a male rabbit. I love rabbits. And we had a female rabbit. So my daughter had to give up her male rabbit because she was moving with it. It wasn't acceptable. And so now we had a male and a female rabbit. So the children were able to observe them going through their mating process naturally. They were able to see the mother get pregnant and how she gave birth and how she nursed her babies. So they were able to, even though we were in the city at the time, they were able to see the natural progression of a male and female couple, you know. And so then we had baby rabbits running all around. We had to take care of baby rabbits. And at the same time, we had a cat, a guinea pig, and a dog. And they would communicate with each other, and I'd have them in the backyard playing. And, well, they weren't playing because they were natural enemies, but they would, like, the dog would get rough with the rabbits, and I'd just look at him, and he'd look at me, and he'd stop, you know, because he knew. You don't do that. Yes, that's my rabbit. So, yeah, we had a wonderful experience with the children experiencing the natural process. That's one of the things that children don't get a chance to experience in a rural, in an urban environment. And that's why they don't know who they are, you know, and they start describing their identity based on who they and how they have sex. So they've been sexualized by an outside force. They didn't develop from within their natural sexuality. Somebody imposed theirs on them. So you see a world of sexualized children and people. They filter everything through sex. They can't even think outside of sex.
Right.
As a result, so they have to be introduced to what's natural. See, the people in the city, y'all don't connect with nature enough. So there's an imbalance, and you have to heal that imbalance. It's like the birds singing. You know, one of the things that definitely brought me to Pembroke was the birds singing, and they're singing this morning, you know, because that's healing to my spirit, my soul. I noticed that there was no ambulances, you know, and I used to live around the hospital when I was there. There's a lot of traffic. And Zelda, your friend Willie Wilson, Dr. Willie Wilson, tell him we can use that money, us farmers out here, that he's giving away for gas because we got long country roads to travel.
Oh, you know what? I am going to send him that message, but I want to record it on my phone. So if you would be so kind to say that again, I will send this message to Dr. Wilson. Go ahead, Maika.
Yes, we're asking Dr. Wilson to consider us farmers out here in the only agricultural northern settlement. And we have long country roads. We can really use some of that money that you're donating to us for gasoline. Thank you so much for that. And while you're at it, think about this.
What city is that?
Food growing.
What city is that, Maika?
This is in Pembroke Township, Illinois.
All right. I will see that he gets it.
All right.
And we'd like to grow some watermelons for you, too, so in the fall you can be giving them away.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's one thing about the country. That is one thing that, you know, George Washington Carver, he was an interspecies communicator. That's why he was
able
to create all these products. He would go into the field and he would ask the plants, what secrets can you share with me? And they would tell him all the different products that they could be used for, all the different ways that he could enhance life for humans. They shared with him. And so this is why this great genius that we celebrate every year, George Washington Carver, this is the skill that he had not lost because he had that love spirit. And that's what attracts other beings when you have a spirit of peace within.
Wow. You need to say that again, Naima, because somebody didn't hear that. And they said, no, did she just say that? That's how he got all those ideas for the peanuts?
Yes.
Can you
repeat that? He asked the plant, and they told him that is how he got all of those inventions. And when we can be respectful enough to understand that every life is divine intelligence, just like we are, then they will gladly share with us. And this is how the world needs to be formed, not through us trying to figure out how we can crush each other or control each other or beat each other down, but to share. And then what we say every day, just share. This is what we have to teach. And when we can teach this new way of thinking, sometimes older people might have a hard time with all of this because they've been stuck in a way of thinking that's been indoctrinated, and sometimes they're just stuck. But if we can begin to teach this to the new minds that are coming into maturity and into childhood now, if we can teach this new way of thinking, then they will create a world where people can live together. And so I'm so excited about working with HWPL in the school because we're going to teach a new thought, and that means getting rid of all of the disrespect and disregard for other lives
because that will make a difference. And, you know, and then Maika, one last thing I really got to go. Maika mentioned sex and how our sexuality has been so distorted, but how animals are so natural. Now, you think animals, they understand that when they're engaging in lovemaking and they fall in love, they have their, you know, loving relationships, but they also understand the responsibility of family. And so they consciously procreate during times when their food supply, whatever it is, will be plentiful. And if it's in their culture where the male and female need to work together, like a certain species of birds where, okay, the male go out and get the worms and the bugs and the female sits on the egg. If they need that kind of partnership, that's their culture. Sometimes they may not, like maybe, well, lions, they have a whole community of pride, a leopard and a pride of lions that work together. But a leopard, well, she might be a little more independent. So maybe the male, after they have the babies, where he'll go on and live his life, she'll be able to take care of herself by herself. That's their culture. But whatever is needed, if two people are needed, if two male people are there needed to work together to raise the children, that's what they do. And so if we as human beings, if we're so out of touch, only thing we're thinking about is the pleasure of sex, the very selfishness of it, not thinking about the well-being of the other person, not thinking about the life that's being generated or the door of that we're opening to allow a soul to enter the earth realm by this act. We're so selfish that we don't think about it, and we create life unknowingly. And then when the life gets here, we're unwelcoming, we're mean, we're nasty, we're cruel. What else are they going to give back to us but what we gave them? And you don't see that behavior anywhere in the animal kingdom. Only human beings misuse sex in this manner, where we have no regard for the act and what it means and the life it's producing or each other's well-being. How are we thinking we are superior to everybody else and everything we do is disjointed? We need to come up to the level of intelligence of all the other beings on the planet because we have lost our way.
And it doesn't have to be that way. We can always find our way back. It
doesn't have to be that way. All we have to do is remember who we are. We are expressions of the divine intelligence of the universe we call God, all of us. And all of us are here for this learning experience so we can remember how to love, because love is the energy of creation. And even when it comes to, and this is probably what got me on this journey, the energy of love is what connects you mind to mind, heart to heart, soul to soul. So when I was on a journey to try to figure out how to reconnect with my husband who had transitioned, and I wrote in the book, Visits from the Dream State, I discovered that if I thought...
Put that book back up there, girl, you know. Put that book back up there, you know. Snatch it right that
oh,
quick.
Sorry, yeah. Visits from the Dream State. If I thought loving thoughts, if I reconnected with his energy, and all of us have a unique energy signature. That's who we are. That's our soul's frequency, and it's unique to us. And the way to describe it is just think about how that person's presence feels. That's who they are. That's the being that they are. So think about how you feel in their presence. Call that feeling, and then send thoughts of love to them. So if I realized, if I recalled how it felt to be in his presence, and if I said, I love my husband, I remember the feeling of love, I literally could reconnect to his soul, to his spirit. In the book, I tell the story about how, and just thinking, I wonder if this works. When I tried it the first time, his spirit literally came, and he said to me, He said my name. He said, Naima Latif. And he said it was kind of like, almost like, you know how you ask for your husband, says, Naima. He almost said it like that kind of, like, joking sort of a spirit. Naima Latif, you know. He said that. I heard the voice.
Wow.
And felt his spirit. It was like a warmth. I felt his spirit. My eyes were closed, but I felt his presence. And he said, you want to be with me? Now, at the time, I thought he was saying, oh, I have to end my life in order to transition to be with him. And then I said, well, I have to serve my time. And he was joking with me. me again. He said, oh, you just want to go to some meetings and hang out and give them talking and everything. So he was always teasing me about that. And I said, again, well, I have to serve my time, you know, meaning I have to stay here. So then later on the day, I thought about it. I said, well, he wasn't saying I have to die to be with him. He was saying he's going to show me how to enter his dimension of existence at will. He would show me how. And he did. He actually, over the time that I was learning telepathy, I was on the internet learning, okay, and I learned what's called astral projection, where you can release your soul from your body and actually enter another dimension.
Do you teach that?
Yes, and if you read the book, I'm giving instructions on what I did. And so, our religions teach, well, you know, when you die, that's it, you're not supposed to try to contact the dead or anything. But they're not dead. Nobody's dead. They just left their body, and they're on another dimension. You can reach that dimension. And again, how it starts, your breathing. I went through the process, and so I learned, and I explained how I did. I went through the process of breathing, relaxing, concentrating, thinking loving thoughts, remembering his energy, and I could draw him to me. So within that first year after he transitioned, he came back and visited me many different times, and one time he came and actually pulled my soul out of my body. So that I could be.
Somebody's trying to pull your soul out of your body right about now, but it's not going to work.
in the dimension that he is in, and
visit.
When I got to where he was at, I mean, we talked, and I said, "Is it okay to talk to you?" He said, "Yeah, it's okay if you talk to me." I mean, because I was thinking, God doesn't approve of this. Because, you know, our religious thinking and stuff. And then I realized that one of the things that we are indoctrinated out of is the understanding that we are all eternal beings having a temporary experience inside a human body. And inside whatever body. Now, also what I learned in studying interspecies communication is that animals are aware that when they transition, they can come back and live again in another form. They're aware of that. Our religions have beaten that knowledge out of us, so we're afraid of death. Whereas other beings realize.
You see me signing that up.
They are going to transition, which is why, you know, when the Aboriginal people, when they would go and hunt, they weren't doing it by force. They would be able to ask an animal, if you're ready to transition out of this life, if this is the end of your life, would you please volunteer to be our food? And
wow.
It was no problem because they were ready to go. And they were willing to have their flesh serve as food for the community. So
Then
you understand that the intelligence, the spirit, the life force energy in us never dies. We would not have this obsession about dying.
It
was a whole different way of living. So everything that we have been mistaught in our religion is because the people who interpreted perhaps the original inspiration that maybe has come to a person, they didn't have the knowledge. They could only interpret it according to their limited understanding and their belief that God is like them, you know, limited, mean-spirited, cruel, vengeful. So this is what they taught, and they literally beat this belief into us because if you didn't believe what the ruling class said you were supposed to believe, they would jail you, they'd feed you, they'd torture you. So over generations, we got frightened into believing something that was actually separating us from God, and that was the belief that we only have one life in this body, and that's it. You either go to heaven or hell. And so to believe anything else, you know, all those people killed as witches and everything, these were women who had the ability to communicate with the plant life, the herbal life, and create medicines and so forth. But the people who didn't understand that called them witches and killed them, tortured them. But these were women who had knowledge of herbs and knew how to do interspecies communication. So they were able to do things, and others were made as like it was something evil, or, you know, you're communicating with the devil and all of that. When Dolores Cannon was first doing past life regression, and people were going back to past lives and all of that, she had some religious people saying, oh, you're doing the work of the devil. You know, so when her husband had gotten into a really bad car wreck, people were saying, see, that's your punishment. You know, but he ended up surviving, and the reason why she was so, when it happened, his body was crushed and everything, and, you know, the doctors said, oh, he's going to die, he's not going to make it through the night. But during one of their past life regressions of one of their clients, she asked, they said, well, no, okay, she's going back to the past. I want to go to the future. So she actually, they had her go to a time in the future, and she actually saw them with their grandchildren and you know, all of that in the future. And so she knew that he was going to, because her client had seen them in the future with the grandchildren and all of that, she knew that he was going to survive this car accident. The doctor didn't know, how did you know? He said, well, I've seen the future. You know, she's my client.
Wow.
After we took her from the past all the way to the future, where she saw our lives as it would be. Now, we got all kinds of people, Nostradamus and others, who are famous seers into the future. But what they see is, if you don't change anything that you're doing right now, this is what's going to happen. Every possibility is based on your choices. If you make different choices, then that will not happen.
Mm-hmm.
So even the book of Revelation, where it shows all these things, there's going to be a war of Armageddon and all this, that is, if you don't change the meanness and the wars and all of those things you're doing right now, this is the end of what's going to happen. But if you change, if you decide to be loving and kind and share, that will not happen. So every future possibility exists just based on which choices you make. And if we can understand that, then we get all these people that's constantly giving us gloom and doom, and every day showing us all these negative images on television. They're actually projecting the future as negative and creating in the collective mind the idea that this is inevitable. And then that's the reality we create based on what's been conditioned in our minds. So that's why the people who understand this are turning off the TV set. Do not let them program you into adding to that collective mental imagery of a war and the world war and Armageddon, because that does not have to happen. Change your mind. Change your thought. Change the images that you project onto your mind, and you will change the future that we create. So all of this has just been such an amazing discovery and realizing that we are all connected to every aspect of nature. And when we can have compassion for other life forms and realize that if we kill one part of nature, we're killing ourselves, because once we leave these bodies, we're going to see the damage that we've done, and we're going to feel it, because we're going to be able to then reconnect with other souls and feel what they felt as we interacted with them, and we'll feel how much we hurt them from their perspective. We can't do it now because we're in separate bodies. We've lost the capacity to empathize. But if we can teach empathy to our children, feel what it feels. Why would they snatch that toy from that child? How would it feel like if they snatched the toy from you? How would it feel if they called you a name? Let us teach empathy. If we teach that at an early age. And one last story. I know we got to go. When I was very young, I had this hobby. I like to design miniature houses, and I make houses out of cardboard. And I made them real, you know, it had windows and doors and everything, and it's really beautiful. And I thought, oh, it would be nice if I had dolls this size to go in this dollhouse. What about if I had living dolls? Oh, well, you know, I like to, little children, like, they like to catch insects. We like to catch grasshoppers. So we would catch grasshoppers and, you know, put them in a jar and all that. And I thought, what if I catch some grasshoppers and put them in my little house and I can watch them walk around like little people? But, you know, grasshoppers, they have these jumping legs. That's how they are able to take flight. The big jumping legs give them a lift and then they can fly. So I thought, well, if I break the legs off and they can't fly, then they got to, you know, run around in my little house. So I catch grasshoppers, break off the jumping legs, and then put them in my little house. And I said, oh, they're so cute. They love my house. I was so unconscious of the fact that I'm breaking the legs off of a grasshopper and disabling it from flying. For some of the older children, they think, now how would you feel if somebody broke your leg? And I'm like, yeah, this grasshopper. So I was totally unconscious. I didn't see them as beings like myself. I thought about what I want. I want you to amuse me by running around in my little shoebox house, you know, and seeing you sitting around my little furniture that I made. Oh, I don't care about you. You don't have feelings. So now that I realize the pain that I caused them, I feel very bad. But I also realize that unconsciousness that we have at the heads of government and at the heads of industry, they don't see us. They don't see the people that they're hurting. They just see what we want you to do. So, yeah, I can send troops away to be killed or kill someone because I don't care about you. I just care what I want. I want to control this land. I don't see you. I don't see your family. I don't see how I'm hurting you. I don't feel you. I don't see you as a person like myself. So I can do this to you and feel nothing. I'm the head of a company, but I can decide, I've got this plant here, but I can make more money if I go overseas. So I'm going to shut down here and go. I don't care about you. I don't care about calling you to not be able to take care of your family or feed your children because I closed this company because I want to make more money somewhere else. I don't see you. I don't see you as a person like myself. I can't feel your pain. You're not a thing. You're just a thing. You're just something for me to use. So it's that mentality that we have toward each other. We don't feel each other as people like ourselves, and that's why we hurt each other. And we have to keep our children home. That's the bottom line, because what's been taught to us is to not care about people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we see
I know that feels like
every
not
day.
Care, because I didn't care about those beings, those grasshoppers that I would break the legs off just so I wanted to have fun and watch them run around my house. So that's the mentality we got to get. We got to overcome. We have to not teach in the next generation that lack of respect for life, lack of respect and regard for other people.
I found that in raising children with animals, that gave them a sense of responsibility, that they were taking care of something that needed them, that they had to depend on for food, for warmth, for water, you know. And as a result, they developed this gentle nature with animals. The animals would respond to them. Once when my young son was at a brutal hall conclave, I don't know what to say, you know, they like the Amish, the brutal hall. He had a little baby pet rabbit. And what was unique after having grown up with rabbits with me and other children, he was rough with one. One day I had the gentlest rabbit in Memphis, Tennessee. And when he come in from school, the rabbit would immediately chase him. You know, it was like, what have you done to my rabbit? This is the nice rabbit, right? And then one day my daughter calls, and my son, the rabbit got his teeth in my son's hand and is holding on, won't let go. He holding him in the air with the teeth.
Hi.
Rabbit hanging down, right? So I'm trying to figure out what it feels. But what evolved out of his relationship with that rabbit turned into, when he was with the brooder hall, he could call his, he let his rabbits run free, and he could call it, and it would come to him, which is so unusual. It was just amazing seeing that relationship that they developed.
Fascinating story. Jody Susan says, Naima Latif, we do see this in the animal kingdom when people get involved. Our horse was bred, and she did not welcome her foal.
Her child. I'm glad you said that. Now, just think back to the times when we were forced to breed children. When you have to have sex with someone to have a child that someone else can sell or use, what does that do to you? You don't. That's like having a child through rape. You know, you're forced to have sex. You don't love that child that you didn't intend to. And this is maybe those who breed animals. If you think about you're mating people. You're mating beings together who didn't fall in love naturally and choose each other. You're doing it for a business. They're not going to have the love of a child that they forced to have. Sometimes they do. Many times they may not. It's like we've had that experience as a people. When in Virginia, that state is notorious for slave breeding because having human beings to sell on the market became big business, especially when the cotton began to erode the soil and the cotton plants weren't as profitable. Virginia took to breeding people.
Yeah.
So when you have to, when someone says, you know, you and this son make a baby and you're 14 years old and you have to have sex and you have a child, are you going to be loving to that child? That child represents the rape that you endured. No, you're not going to want that child. And so this is sometimes animals who are bred, same thing. I'm not out in the wild choosing my mate, going somewhere and having a loving family. I'm confined to a space and forced to procreate against my will. So this child didn't come as a result of my choosing, but someone else's force. No, I'm not going to have the same nurturing feeling. So these are things that we, again, in our human belief of superiority have to think about. Are we doing things that are kind, or are we dismissing the God force inside of the beings that are not human? Teach according to the laws of love, because that is universal, and the vibration of interspecies.
We've come to the end of our show today.
And if you didn't get it here today, you can always go to my blog. Today's title is Wood Wide Web. You'll see real life there. You'll see a lot of information. You'll see links to everything. Isn't it funny how the tree life looks like the human? Yeah, go there and check it out. Here and scroll all the way to the bottom so you can get the full effect of this and watch these videos. You will be amazed at what you see. Look at this. Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
Yes. It's all on the blog, the Worldwide Wood Wide Web. So be sure and check it out. Be sure and check that out. And be sure and check us out tomorrow on Self-Cell Care with Jody Toussaint. And a couple of other announcements here before we go. I got a Zoom at 10. I got 4 minutes, so actually I got 2 minutes. I didn't tell my B story, but I will tell you very quickly. The B story was we were in Florida having the WOW Awards, and as you were talking, a bee landed, and I got pictures of it. I need to put that up there, too. Right there on the keyboard while we're talking, and I was like, okay, and I didn't, my first reaction was not to slam it, because I didn't want to get stung. I'm just going, you were talking, and I didn't want to distract you. I said, well, just let it do what it do and see what it does. So I'll share that, too. That's a very interesting video. I still got it in my phone. I got to find it, and I'll upload that, too. So thank you all so very much. Be sure and tune in tomorrow, Self-Cell Care with Jody Toussaint, every day of the week, 7 till 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And on Saturday, it's the Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest, where we are giving away $500 for the most talented youth in honor of the late Mayor Harold Washington, the mayor of Chicago. Jody says, wow, what the Friday. So thank you so much. Stay on purpose, stay empowered. As I leave you with my last video of the day, as I said before, if you're tired of shopping and not getting paid for it, this is your opportunity to do so. I'm so happy we got a check, and not a check. You know how you go to your account, and you see, it's like, where did that money come from? Oh, that's click money. So I don't want anybody to accuse me of keeping this goodness to myself, so I'm sharing it with you for the rest of the day. And you can also see it on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned for more of Monday Morning Mindfulness on blogtalkradio.com, The Female Solution. As we leave you with a message from how you can earn some money, too, right here on Click. Thanks for watching. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to call and ask or email.
Welcome to QuickClick, where customers can buy, share, and earn. Meet Sam. Sam owns an e-commerce business that sells athletic shoes and running gear. Sam wants to increase her sales without increasing marketing spend, so she decides to list her products on QuickClick. On QuickClick, her loyal customers can get paid for sharing her products with their friends. Sam uploads her products to the marketplace, just like she would on Amazon or Shopify. meet Laura. Laura is in the market for a new pair of shoes and comes across Sam's brand on the QuickClick marketplace. Laura is able to purchase the shoes and check out like she would on any other e-commerce site. After purchasing, Laura receives a unique Quick Link that she can share with friends to begin earning Quick Cash. Her friend Jessica opens Laura's Quick Link on her phone and purchases a pair of shoes. Because Jessica purchases using Laura's Quick Link, Laura receives Quick Cash in her account. After purchasing, Jessica can now share her own Quick Link and begin earning Quick Cash as well. But Quick Link is more than just your typical referral or affiliate platform. QuickClick rewards customers for sales they directly and indirectly influence. So, for every sale Jessica's new QuickClick makes, Laura will earn additional Quick Cash as well, making the potential for earning exponential. Laura and Jessica can transfer their Quick Cash balance to their bank account at any time, or can even use Quick Cash to make additional purchases in the app. Meanwhile, Sam can just watch as the sales roll in. Best of all, she doesn't have to worry about costs, since she is only spending marketing dollars when actual purchases are made. Start buying, sharing, and earning today at QuickClick.com.
And you too can earn with QuickClick.com. All you have to do is go to the website, higherlearningnetwork.org. The information is there. And thank you so much for being a part of the Monday Morning Mindfulness and the Female Solution right here. And we will see you back here tomorrow with Jody Susan, who says, thank you, Zelda. Yay, thank you, Jody. Great show, ladies. And it wouldn't be possible if it were not for you. So thank you so much. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to the next show, which is next week. We're going to have a, what is she, 14 years old? She's a genius. I found her in my building. I wish I could turn the camera around so you could see Tony. He's making faces at me. He does that all the time. And you expect me not to laugh? Really? Anyway, stay on purpose, stay empowered, stay tuned. And be sure, please, and thank you for subscribing on our YouTube channel, which is hlntv.one. We thank you for subscribing. We thank you for sharing and for posting your comments. Got it? hlntv.one. And also on our YouTube page, YouTube. I'm looking for the YouTube page. There it is right there. Okay? Is that it? Yep. That's it. Post comments right there. Or you can also post them on our YouTube page. And I can locate it. Higher Learning TV.